All right. Can you hear?
Got rid of him on Friday.
Okay. How about you? All right. It's got a selfie.
The lighting is not as good as it used to be.
You're worse than him.
Wait, I didn't get my headset in that. Now people will never know.
I've had enough of these people. They're a bunch of Christian murderous scum. They're on giant death factories keeping babies alive. They're selling their body parts. What more do you need to know about these people? You ever heard this? They literally crawl out from under rocks. They have green looking skin and they run around screaming, we love Satan, we want to eat babies. It's all stuff that Alex Jones actually said, and then they turned it into a folk song.
Oh, man.
Now, do you get Alex Jones there? Do they allow him?
I haven't watched him in a long time.
You haven't looked, which means you're normal, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, InfoWars was definitely part of my libertarian birth, but...
Torn her and Obama just stink. Obama and Hillary both smell like sulfur. Who's, oh, it's you. Get around vampire pot and the goblins.
What are you drinking? 18-year-old after us. My spirit gets close to that evil and I feel it go. We don't even know his head itself rising up against us. Millions of burning people of the very worst type, and I'm so pissed.
I should look this up here. We're gonna stab your daughter at the mall. Oh. Going to stab your wife, your son.
Man.
Was it Covington?
Yeah, Covcath.
Yeah. And I've been trying to just fix the place because it's just been just
awful. What else did I want to talk about?
Gillette.
I know, like,
the best a man can get. Now, do you guys have shaving equipment in?
Yes, we do.
I don't know if you knew anything about Norway before you went there, but, like, all I know is from the Olympics, and I remember my favorite Olympics was in Norway, Lillehammer.
Yeah.
And so I know that, and I also know it's cold, so those are the things I know about Norway.
Did you watch the I think it was a Netflix series they made?
No.
Lillehammer?
Oh, yeah, no, I didn't see, but I know of it.
Yeah. It's funny.
Okay.
Yeah. I haven't taken no after pictures, but that was the before the IT department.
That's stress inducing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was. I couldn't work in it.
The Netflix agent would have a time. With
all
that.
Right, Hannah, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Chris.
Good.
All right. Keep talking.
Good to be here.
All right. You sound good.
Yeah.
Harry.
I'm fine too, Chris. Okay.
All right. I don't care.
I've been nice today.
You have been nice. You've only complained once.
Exactly.
All right. I'm going to publish this bad boy, and then we'll get started.
I'm really just waiting until the light goes red.
Where's the light?
It's that camera right there, that little one.
I see. Yeah.
I've been playing with the green screen, though.
Have you?
Yeah. It's been fun, though.
Bye. Yo,
group of boys from Covington Catholic High School in Kentucky.
Son. Okay.
Let me ask y'all something.
Nasty ass crackers.
Boom. We're going to play a small portion of what ensued next because it leads directly to the incident that would immediately go viral. But keep it in mind for later because I'm going to come back to this clip. This specific line of insults toward the Covington boys. Again. Now, it's about this time that the boys from Covington High School all begin gathering. It's even resorting to calling other African Americans in the vicinity the N-word because they don't agree with the media has.
Now, do you have the N-word in Norway? I'm just kidding. Don't
answer. I mean, that's an interesting topic if you wanted to get into that. But,
well, we have a racist insurance here tonight, so maybe.
I'm good, but thank you.
That's funny. All right, ready?
Yeah.
I always have this too loud, so let me turn this down.
All right, let's get back to some boring subjects.
Understand the risk to our country.
Freedom brings people together.
You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at wearelibertarians.com.
Welcome to episode 338. My name is Chris Spangle here on We Are Libertarians. Tonight we have a lot of people here. It's Harry. Harry is here as usual, and Harry Price. We have Hannah Lee, Hannah Weber. I don't know what we call you.
Hannah Weber's fine.
All right, and then Chris Osborne, straight from Norway, is here. So we're gonna find out if Norway's a real country right after this.
Warning. This show is for adults, produced by semi-adults. So the language is sometimes strong and offensive.
I don't know what I said.
Welcome to We Are Libertarians, where our goal is to help you sound smarter while talking to your friends. We examine current events from a libertarian perspective while treating modern politics with all of the irreverence it deserves.
There has been lie after lie.
We toss out the screaming heads, put people before political parties, and give context to the news to make you think. Now, here's our host, a 15-year veteran of politics and media, Chris Spangle.
Welcome to the program. My name is Chris Spangle, trying to do several things at once here. Our precious YouTube viewers are telling me that it's super hot on the audio. So, just like Harry. Harry Price, how are you tonight?
Going good now. Yeah, now I'm good.
Yeah, you're drinking. So I thought someone was cleaning their ears. I clean my ears with rubbing alcohol. I don't know if that's the right thing to do. But all of a sudden, I'm like, is somebody cleaning their ears? And then I realized, no, it's Harry. He's drinking. What are you drinking?
I'm drinking 18-year-old Aberfeldy scotch.
Aberfeldy. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's one of my favorites.
It doesn't smell horrible.
Thanks, I think. And doesn't smell like pure alcohol, like you're calling it. It's a very, it's got a lot of oak tones to it. I like it. It's very smooth.
All right. And then Hannah, how are you tonight?
I'm great. How are you?
Now, Hannah, I invited on because we had this long conversation on our group chat about Gillette.
Yeah.
Remember those days when we were talking about Gillette?
Yeah. What happened there?
It's been a long three.
They make like soap or something
for beta males, I think.
Oh,
it was, yeah, that's so. It's been a long 5 days. We've got a lot going on, and then one of our patrons, Chris Osborne, hit me up and said, "Hey, I'm going to be in Indianapolis, which is rare since I live in a different hemisphere. So, would you like to get lunch?" And of course, I'm too busy for that sort of thing. So I said, "Why don't you come to a show? Then you can meet Harry, and you know, for some people, that's an attraction."
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Here, let's move your mic over here. I had to break down the studio again and rebuild it this weekend, so everything's off.
Yeah.
Everything's discombobulated. Mm-hmm. We'll get the hang of it. Now, you live in Norway. Is this indeed a real country, or is that just the same as Sweden and Finland like I think?
It's a real country, and as long as you, you know, believe in real countries.
Okay. Well, I'm a libertarian, so, and I'm a real libertarian, not one of these fakertarians like Liberty Hangout. So, you have borders there, no?
Yes.
Sort of. Yeah, you have
loosely enforced with the part of the, you know, the Schengen Agreement, but there's definitely borders.
Yeah, you were. So you're from America, right?
Yes, born in D.C.
Okay, born in D.C., so not really America.
Yeah, right. I mean,
but close.
We're like second-class citizens.
Okay. But, so you left why?
I left because I married a Norwegian-American.
Women. Okay. Yeah.
Women.
Got it.
You know, that's why Americans go to Norway, either for oil or for love.
Now, do you just eat whale? Do you have any other food besides whale there?
I, as far as Norwegian cuisine goes, I really like their Christmas rice porridge, and I like their smoked salmon.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's a very, you know, Oslo, it's a very international city. You
don't
can get
to come over here and push your Norwegian propaganda on us. We know that you're living in a hut, you're chopping your own wood, right? I don't understand why an American would leave America to go chop their own wood for heat. It makes no sense to me. Now, is it wintertime there?
Yes.
I know it's weird, like the un-American Australians, they have winter in like summer or something weird. So I don't know, and like their toilet goes the other way. I don't know if that's a bourbon legend or not, but I'm not sure. So you went for a lady.
Yes.
I'm not sure about this guy because he says he's Norwegian, but he sounds Finnish. He's an American who left America, and he had the audacity to show up to this podcast wearing a Lions of Liberty t-shirt instead of a We Are Libertarians t-shirt. Can you explain yourself, please?
That's a long story, complicated story. But
we have 3 hours.
You went to a website and you paid for it. How much more complicated could it be?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of good people in the Liberty movement, and it's hard to choose. You know, I also considered, you know, and I have a limited budget, so I was like, if I want to help one of these podcasts, I want to like do it more than like a buck, you know? And I was originally thinking of Roger Paxton, and then, I mean,
quickly came to your senses, yes.
And I really like I like the variety they have, and I like, yeah.
It's okay. I mind you coming on my show and telling me that their show's better. It's fine. We can still be friends.
I mean, someday, you know, I'll get a full time job, and I'll be supporting more different.
So you'd be more affluent if you didn't live overseas. Like, if you were still in America, you know, that's...
Well, if I had a full-time job. Okay. That's the main issue. I work part-time, and I study religion and social sciences, and I feed my three kids.
Oh, see, now I feel bad. He's got children. He's got mouths to feed. Now, did you or did you not, in fact, have your first Chick-fil-A experience today?
I did.
What did you think?
It was good. I just had a few chicken nuggets.
Just good.
Just good. I made it twice today.
Right.
Twice.
I mean, it was fun because of, you know, the cultural aspect of being a libertarian. And
right.
You know? And so I had my brother take a picture for fun. But
what did you get?
Just the basic Chick-fil-A chicken nuggets. Just four pieces. I had eaten a late lunch, unfortunately, a late breakfast.
He's like a bird, this one. He doesn't eat because he lives in another country.
It's rationed.
Right,
so
there's rationed food, right?
I mean, I'm on vacation. I don't work as hard, so I don't work up as much an appetite.
No, right.
I think that's it.
Well, it's all the skiing that they have to do, so they don't, you know. Do you have snowshoes?
I do not have snowshoes. I have skis, but I've used them on one ski trip, because my wife isn't a ski kind of a girl.
Someone asked me to go skiing this weekend, and I said, I'm 275 pounds. I do not belong on two tiny little twigs. That is a recipe for a broken arm or, you know. I'm hitting my peak. I need to protect my brain at all costs.
I mean, the Norwegian-style skiing is supposed to be really good exercise. So.
Right. See. Now, had you ever been in a restaurant more polite than Chick-fil-A?
Unfortunately, we didn't actually sit down to eat. So, but I mean, I don't know. I didn't experience it as very special. I know I'm probably disappointing some people. Maybe I didn't get
All right, thank you for coming on the program.
Yes, it's been nice. When's your flight out?
Yes, yes.
Oh, by the way, he was in
Get the hell
alien.
Out. Now, having been to Chick-fil-A, does this rainbow beer koozie trigger you? Okay.
See, he didn't have the right.
He didn't have the right. Yeah. This rainbow koozie should really set you off if you had Chick-fil-A today. I have the hate chicken at least two. I'm almost a gold member. I think I have. Let's see how many points I have here. You got to get the app because if you go twice a day, Hannah, you too could be an elitist at Chick-fil-A. I am 190 points away from being a gold member on the Chick-fil-A app.
Hold on, there's an app and you get points.
I get free sandwiches all the time. I have accumulated 2,500 points in roughly 3 weeks. That's a joke.
Each point gets you closer to God, too. Right?
Every point, yeah. If I get to gold, I automatically get to go to heaven.
Yes.
I'm at silver right now, which means that
purgatory.
It means that I no longer have to listen to anything Ocasio-Cortez says because she's just a dirty humanistic sinner.
God bless.
So it has its perks. Well, thank you for coming. I'm glad that you could make it here. We're teasing you.
Yeah.
Being an expat, when you look back on the United States, like what is your view? Do you go, I'm glad I'm not over there right now, or are you nostalgic for your proper home country?
It's really mixed. Like I'm nostalgic for the food. I'm nostalgic for I kind of wish I could be more involved in the liberty movement. I feel like it's hard to be. You know, there's lots of stuff going on, and I
be nice. Yeah, you don't get to go to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's the European Students for Liberty Conference, but that seems like it's kind of it. I mean, I think Mises goes over and does some things.
And Norway does have a libertarian party. I think some members object to the word libertarian. They have some bad connotations with that.
Yeah, me too.
But yeah,
listen to today's daily. Yeah,
right.
So is it fairly socialist? Is it a socialist country? I mean, you always hear about European socialism. What's the government structure like there?
It depends on kind of your definition of socialism. I would consider it a kind of socialism. Like if because people say Nazism was a form of socialism, and you know Soviet communism is a form of socialism, and you know democratic socialism. I would consider it a kind of socialism, but people object to that because I mean it's backed up by a strong free market economy. You know there's big capital. It's possible to become rich there,
right.
Yeah, and so that's why people don't want to call it socialism. But they have with the size and scope of their welfare system, I feel like it's difficult to not call it socialism, anyways.
Yeah. Right.
But you know, loads of people, you know, both in liberty-oriented people, both in America and in Norway, object to that. But I think. They have their reasons for people have feelings, you know?
Yeah, right.
People have feelings about words. And
no one on this show, but yes, I've heard that generic concept before, yeah. So how big of an issue are the situation with immigrants? Because over here you hear a lot about Brexit and it's all because of immigration and the right. I'm not going to say fringe right because I don't want to dismiss those people in that way. But the Paul Joseph Watsons of the world, the Sargon of Akkad's, like that's kind of all we hear about Europe is that version. And you see the Yellow Vest protests start to launch and you hear that. Europe's just on fire with refugees, and literally every corner is just trash because of Muslims and Africans. And it's like, so it's hard to really get a good sense of what's actually happening. Like, when you looked at the South Africa crisis, it wasn't nearly as bad as a lot of those people said South Africa was. Mm. Which, if you disagree, go back and listen to our episode a few back. But so I don't know what Norway's immigration policy is. Some people apparently don't follow the immigration policies of Norway. Wink, wink. He's legal now, but someone was sneaking into the country for ladies, which good reason to sneak in. But what is the situation there really across Europe?
It's interesting in Norway. It's interesting. They have this concept that has shown up in the Norwegian media, talking about svenske tilstander.
I'm sorry, what?
Sweet means like.
Listen, you got to understand. Hannah is from basically the Appalachia of Indiana. So she barely understands your English, let alone whatever.
He was speaking in tongues just then.
Yeah, like honestly.
I've heard it.
Yeah,
I've
you need
it.
A snake or what are you? What are you, Martian?
Well, no, I mean. It means
Harry, like, of course, is like, I understood every word.
Is this like it's like the way things are in Sweden? I'm too integrated into my Norwegian, so I'm bad at translating.
Okay,
so like svensk is Swedish,
right?
And tillstånd is like the state of being.
Okay,
that are like how things are. And people like the idea is that what you were saying, like supposedly Sweden is in utter chaos because of too many immigrants, and
right.
There's loads, you know, mm-hmm. It's becoming the rape capital of the world and whatnot, you know, supposedly. Yes. I don't know the details of it, but that's the claim.
Mm-hmm.
And then people are worried about that certain parts of Norway, especially like parts of Norway where I live.
Yeah, and let's give people
becoming like that.
Yeah, let's give people a geography lesson. I just googled this, so I know. So you have you know Germany, and if you think right above Germany, then and Germany and Poland, you've got like a thumb coming down. Think of it like a couple of legs hanging down, and the top is Norway. You have Norway to the left, then Sweden, and then Finland, and then Russia up in that kind of top part, and then. You're very close to Holland. I think that's Holland, right? Yeah.
Holland and Denmark.
Denmark, yes.
Both to the, yeah. to the south.
So Sweden is kind of in the middle of all that. It seems like, it looks like it has the biggest landmass. Now, my friend who lives in Finland, she lives not in Helsinki, in Turku, and she says things are not nearly as bad as like those guys make it out.
Mm.
So she's on the other side, and then you're on the other, you're on the left side if you're looking at the map.
Yeah.
So you know, Sweden, as you were saying, Sweden gets the rap of it's the rape capital of the world. It's just,
right.
Like, have you been to Sweden? Like, have you checked it out? Or
no, I've the deepest into Sweden I've been is I have family that has a cabin there, and I've been shopping the same way people from Massachusetts go shopping in New Hampshire. Norwegians go shopping in Sweden because of the lower taxes.
Okay.
So, but I've never been to, I've never made it to Stockholm, so I really don't know.
Damn, okay. Assholes everywhere.
What?
Massholes just going everywhere, ruin their state with their taxes, and come to New Hampshire for their like their lack of taxes.
So, in Oslo, where you're at,
yeah.
I mean, what is the what was the immigration situation? Did they bring in a lot of refugees from Syria and other places in your country?
We've brought some in. I don't know the details. I mean. Throughout our discussions, you'll find I'm not very good with detailed facts.
Okay.
You'll fit in perfectly.
Yep.
I mean, I'm more interested in like broader pictures and deeper meanings and underlying structures of like, you know, why things are the way they are, why people feel the way they feel, rather than, and I'm bad with, you know, dates
sure.
and names. And,
so let
and
me put it
time.
This way: in a broad spectrum. I mean, you've been there since 2006. Have you seen a tremendous amount of change in the last 3 years?
No.
Okay. And have you seen a big shift in society over the last 10 years?
Biggest change I've seen is that there's more variety in the grocery stores. Honestly.
Okay. All right. I mean,
which
it's
nice.
It's anecdotal, but it's
anecdotal,
yeah,
of course.
But
I mean, obviously, the amount of immigrants compared to Norwegian citizens has grown because Norwegians don't have as many babies as foreigners. Like our Prime Minister Erna Solberg has been talking a little bit about that. She's been talking about how, you know, we need to have more children in order to so that. We'll have somebody to pay for our retirement,
right?
When you know when I get old, And so, I mean, the other option is to have more people moving in.
Right.
If you're going to try to sustain that system anyways. Right.
Do you want your free stuff or do you want your culture? And I've never bought into the argument of, you know, we can't let these Hondurans into America because look at what happened to Europe.
Mm.
The difference between America and Norway or, you know, Luxembourg or any of these countries, I don't know how many people are in Norway, but it's probably a few million, you know. Let's look in the Google machine because I'm not going to ask him details here.
Exactly, yeah.
But, you know, here in Indiana we have 6 million people, and that's the population. You have 5.2 in all of Norway. Right. So, you know, you're talking right. about the size of, I think, the population of around... you know, an Oregon or a Kentucky, and you can have a socialist system, and you can have a community built around these cultural norms that are ancient. But America doesn't have that. We're a 250-year-old country built on immigration, and so the concept of 10,000 Hondurans coming into the country and fundamentally changing the makeup of America just doesn't really make sense. I live in the middle of... Now, when you came here, did you... You drove down here to the South Side. You've been hanging around down here. Does it look like America to you?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Hesitation, but I get it. It's the South Side.
No, I mean, it's also... like I grew up on Martha's Vineyard. It's a little bit different. But, right. like, it, you know, it looks like any, like... town on the Cape where there's malls and, you know, whatever.
Right. Now, would you know that this is the second largest population outside of Burma of the Chin people?
No, I wouldn't.
The massive amount of, other than the grocery stores for the Vietnamese, the Chin, the Indians, the Hispanics, like, there is a ton of ethnic grocery stores here. That is the only, you know, now, being a resident here, I run into a lot of foreign peoples at the gym, at the grocery store. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of Pacific, like Asian Americans or new Americans or refugees from Burma that are like Southern Asia, not necessarily China, but like Burma, like Thailand.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I don't see that. If anything, I see the area kind of being cleaned up.
Which is also mixing with like the Filipinos that are here. Right. Which Indianapolis has, for some reason, has a huge Filipino community.
Well, it's you immigrate to where your family's at.
Yeah.
And so if you bring in a ton of Chin people, then all of a sudden they're like, I'm going to go where my uncle is.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Lawrence already had a very established Korean community in there as well.
Yeah.
You know, if you ever go to Lawrence, Indiana, there's tons of like the Korean churches, the grocery stores, the tons of Korean barbecue and karaoke studios on that side, and just
hell yeah,
it's awful.
Write that
sounds
down.
Lovely.
Yep.
Yeah, if you Bondo and the Marbo studio on the Pike, yeah, that's
Bondo.
Yeah, I can't pronounce the Korean.
All right,
don't make me.
But my point being is that in a place with a country of 5 million Europeans, white people, like. You blend in being an immigrant because of your blonde hair, I can't tell, blue eyes. But, you know, like you look like if you told me you were from Norway, I'd go, yeah, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know, like Hannah and Harry, we might have a little bit of a, are you really? Like you're red-haired Swedish princess with alabaster skin. Maybe, but that red hair, I just don't think like.
It's not authentic.
Yeah.
Do you have redheads in Norway?
Well,
or did you eradicate them?
I think my brother-in-law actually, but of course he's all half right. American.
Okay, so. All right, okay. So he's got the defect. being a ginger myself, but you know, Harry comes in and tells me he's from Norway. I'm going, Jamigrade, or like now that's my own white privilege talking.
Not in 50 years. 50 years is like, oh yeah, of course.
Right, right. Exactly. It's like your ancestors in England who were black, and you're like, I almost said your ancestors in England who were African American. but
exactly.
Harry's people are from England. Like that's how he immigrated from the United States in his ancestry tree. We won't go into what particular industry they worked in. But
everyone needed a job. It was a job program.
But my point being is that you know, 50,000 Hondurans and El Salvadorans and Catholics who are conservative lifestyle, Latin, you know, built and raised. Like, that's the fundamental crazy part about a lot of the right's argument about immigration, is you're talking about Christians from the Westerns, from Western civilization planted by Europeans who, yeah, there may be cultural differences, but fundamentally they're talking like Hispanics that come here are some of the most conservative Christian people, entrepreneurial people, and you go, they're fundamentally conservative. That's why it makes no sense to put your thumb in their eye. You know, and so I think the immigration problem here, if there is a problem, is fundamentally different than the immigration conversation in Europe and the makeup of those particular countries. And I just think conservatives totally conflate these situations and confuse it on purpose.
Yeah. And honestly, to me, even in Europe, I think, you know, with a little good will, I don't see how it should be a problem in Europe either.
Yeah.
Like, people are people.
Right.
Like, you know, you see some issues with, like, people have different parenting styles, and there is, you know, there's the child services that have their ideas of what is good parenting, and but that's like the biggest social issue I've ever heard of, and that's not just people from the southern part of the hemisphere. That's like people from Poland and have different, you know, there's like, for example, there's a zero tolerance in Norway for corporal punishment. You can't
really
even, you can't, not even on the butt.
Hannah, you being where you're from, wouldn't even understand that culture.
Mm, not today.
You have practically just, you have switch bushes where you're from.
Yeah, you go pick a switch.
Yeah.
Do you know what that is? You ever heard of that?
I've heard that. I think I get the picture. Yes.
You had an exchange student that lived in your area from Norway.
Right.
You're saying, like, what kind of cultural shock was she in?
Oh, looking back, like, I almost feel bad, but had to. If I didn't know that. That's the first I've heard. I didn't know they don't do spankings. You don't get a whooping in Norway.
Good.
I didn't know that. Yeah, that's different.
Mm. We've been talking a lot about spanking lately, and not like, this is how you know you're getting older, when you start talking about spanking children instead of each other.
Yeah. You cross the threshold.
Right.
You
know? Yeah.
Yeah.
In your 20s, like, so how do you like your spanking?
Right now.
In your 30s, it's like, now this is my spanking policy.
How can you ever expect them to understand nonviolence if you teach them violence? Like, I get
exactly
that point.
Yeah,
I just run around slapping people uncontrollably. Right. I can't control my violence.
We know.
Left-handed redhead, we know.
Right.
That's why Aaron keeps buying makeup covered. Yeah.
Aaron, you don't even have stairs in your house, and Aaron just keeps falling down them. It's real weird.
Oh, that's an awful joke. Moving on.
Sorry, boys will be boys.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Redheads will be redheads.
Way to bring it on.
Way to bring it on around. Let's.
Yeah, but you know, just so everyone know, because I do get this question a lot. No, I don't plan on spanking Gunther. I get that question a lot.
Yeah, we'll talk about spanking some other time, because it's actually been a conversation. I've had like three conversations about spanking lately, and I. And we'll have to have our nanny friend on, and we'll talk about it. So, anyways. At this point in the show, I want to thank some of our patrons, those who have brought gifts for Dear Leader via Patreon. You know, we got hit pretty hard with the people leaving the Patreon over Ruben and Jordan Peterson, and I totally understand people not wanting to be a part of that particular platform. But the alternative is PayPal and some other systems, and MasterCard and Visa. And so here's the situation. You're funding Liberty. Liberty Memes is now up to like the 10th biggest Patreon on the platform, or something crazy. Liberty Memes, you know, the former rest in peace Liberty Memes. I have become decent friends with the Gay Brothers, Peter and David. And they actually are part of our Patreon. They actually published. You should join their group, and you should become a Patreon of theirs. They're doing a lot of great stuff with their dollars, and they are promoting us. I slid in their DMs, and I was like, hey, I won't talk about that. I shouldn't talk about that. I'll spoil it. But You know, we're always appreciative of the Libertarian Coalition, Christy Avery, Craig DaCosta, and Jason Doolittle for being our 100, Jason's 125 a month supporters. And I want to thank Ed Brehab, who intern Ed, I don't know if you remember him, yeah. From you know about a year ago, intern Ed actually pledged $101. So thanks to Ed. I want to thank JD. JD joined, let's see, James G. Thank you guys for joining Raven Marks. And it's hard. There's a lot of cancellations in here. So normally it's just additions. And so it's hard to go, you know, I get it. It's hard to ask people to join something that they may fundamentally disagree with. But it makes a statement to Patreon when Liberty Memes really pushes their Patreon up to the top of the charts, shows that we're here, we're ready to take you on in your business practices. And make sure that you start respecting the libertarian voice. So thank you to those patrons. One other little piece of self-promotion. I was asked to be on Al and Frank Try to Be Serious. That's Al Jackson and Frank Caliendo, the very famous comedians, very funny comedians. Frank Caliendo, you may know his name or face from Mad TV, from ESPN. He's the guy that does the impressions, Gruden, Madden. All those impressions, and he has a podcast called Al and Frank Try to Be Serious, and they had me on their second and third episode to talk about libertarianism. I don't know if you guys got a chance to hear it. Did you?
Yes,
you
listen? It's very good. It's very good.
Thank you. Tell me more.
It's hilarious. Describes libertarians quite well.
Yeah, I think it is a great tool, and back me up on this. These two episodes, the second one I think I did very well on, especially in the last portion of it, but if you have friends and family who are kind of interested in libertarianism and they don't quite get it, these are two cultural figures that I think it would be a great thing to send to those friends and say, take a listen to this.
Yes, 100%.
Mm. Yeah.
They're like the people who I don't know what libertarianism is.
Yes.
Boom.
Because they literally had no idea.
Yeah. Because you can't really pick up we are libertarians and start and understand all. We don't go back that far.
Right.
Every episode.
So when they hit me with what is a libertarian, I hadn't done the elevator pitch in months, because years even, because when I worked at the Libertarian Party of Indiana, it was every day, and then I wanted to be the marketing director of the Advocates, which are the quiz people, so that, like, my whole job was the elevator pitch, and then I've become, I've atrophied those muscles, so I kind of felt like I stumbled a little bit, but the second one, I felt went really well, so please go check those out. I really want to make a good impression, leave them a nice review, and thank them for having on a libertarian. You know, it's so easy to start a podcast where you're talking about politics, and they're really not. Like, what they're trying to do with their show is, can people who have fundamental disagreements talk about big ideas in a polite way? Like, Al and I, you'd think that Al and I may be on a different side on a lot of things, and Al and I agreed on a lot of stuff, but we looked at it through different lenses,
yeah.
And it's like, Al looks at police brutality from the eyes of a black male, and I look at it from the eyes of a white libertarian, so it's like, we both see the same problem, but we're describing it in different ways. He has the trunk of the elephant, and I have the foot, you know. But we're still talking about an elephant. So instead of fighting over whether or not he's right or I'm right about the same conversation, it's like, let's figure out how we solve that particular problem, because there's shades of truth in both sides of those issues. And so that's really what we try to do here. But they're doing it on steroids and from a place of two non-political guys talking about trying to figure out politics and these big ideas of society. So please go check that out. The higher the numbers, the more reviews, the more shares, and they look back and they go, wow, this had 2,000 more downloads or 3,000 more downloads than the other episodes. That tells them, like, hey, have the libertarian on more. And I know that's kind of selfish, but I also really believe in what they're trying to do, and I really like these two guys. Frank has been nothing but gracious. Al is just a super gracious guy. They're just genuinely good guys, and I think it's a podcast that you will find truly interesting. So please go check it out. So, well, here we are. You know, how long have you been in America here, Chris?
For this.
Yeah,
visit.
This trip.
I came.
Pull that mic down a little bit, so it's.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to talk in it directly, yeah.
Yeah.
Like Hannah. Potato. Just like this, you know.
Let me see. I've been here since.
I didn't realize you were this bad of a detail guy.
I know, right? I arrived on Thursday.
Is weed legal in Norway? Is
that? You arrived in 2019.
Right. So, what, a couple weeks?
No, just a few days.
Okay.
I showed up on Thursday.
Boy, did you pick a time to come back. You know, you're on social media, so you probably see a lot of all the BS that goes on here. I don't know how different your feed may look over there from different IPs. But when you look at weekends like this in America, and especially kind of being here, what does that look like from foreign eyes?
It looks like chaos,
right?
On the surface, but like I said, I like going into depth and trying to understand, you know, the structure behind why.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really look at it, the one interesting thing my new sister-in-law mentioned too is not a libertarian and not very political either. She wondered why was this a news story? The because nobody got hurt as far as I could tell. Anyways, nobody got punched. Right.
Right.
Nobody was physically violated.
Right.
There was just words exchanged. So even if these boys from the Catholic school were being really vile, it would still only be words. And why is that a national news story?
Yeah. So I was talking to a friend of ours, Jordan Berry, who works out at Barstool Sports. And she's from Marion, Indiana. So she grew up in a very racist part of Indiana, and she's very SJW. And so she sees Tad, and she's just like, what is this fool talking about? So we were talking about it, and I just said, it feels like a lot of none of our business. Like, so just to kind of recap, so we last week we had the Gillette thing, and I did an episode of the Chris Spangle Show. I didn't feel like I did a great job of describing the ad and kind of what I felt, why I felt that it wasn't as negative as people thought. So I went back, and the Chris Spangle Show, I'll be doing some shorter episodes over there from time to time in video, and I broke down the values that I felt were contained in that ad, which is why Hannah was going to come on and talk about that particular ad, because, you know, as a woman, she's watching this going, I kind of agree with a lot of what this is saying. This is true in my experience. Like, I get not wanting to be talked down to. I'm mansplaining what she felt about the Gillette ad. But, like, you just were a little mystified by what the problem was with that.
Yeah, I have no clue at what point people were offended. But it turns out everything.
Right.
Like, every part of it. The fact that there were grills involved. I've heard, like, well, now they're saying that we're not allowed to grill as men. Like, boys aren't allowed to wrestle. Like, all this weird stuff that didn't happen.
Right. Taking the line toxic masculinity, you put in Gillette ad, and then the suggestion is toxic masculinity ad. And you go, that was not meant to describe what they were talking. Like, they were trying to, as a person who has written advertising and writes advertising almost on a daily basis, what they were trying to do was to put you into a certain context very quickly. And they did that with some fake news ads.
Right.
And then get you into the mindset of the ad so then you can start to hear the message that they're talking about without real, like, it's like jumping into a conversation in the middle of it versus someone going, here's what we're talking about at the beginning of this conversation. So people grabbed onto, like, the toxic masculinity thing. And I just have a different experience because of my career, and I go, I think you guys just saw this all wrong. So that's what the Chris Spangle Show was about. I broke it down, but it was very mystifying to me.
Yeah.
Well, first off, at least they had real grills. Okay, those are real smoking grills.
Harry,
okay.
I have regulations here. Move on. Move on.
Second thing with it, I think the ad hit its target demographic from hearing from Hannah.
Oh, 100%.
Because most men don't buy their own razors if they're, you know, in a relationship.
That's interesting. I have not heard that point of view.
Huh.
In majority speaking, in most households, people who go out and buy, you know, products or stuff like that are the women of the household.
See, when you put it that way and they're trying to get their men, the men are outraged, so the women who are hearing the men bitch about it go, what's this all about? So they sit down and they'll watch it and they go, well, I actually agree with all that. That's
right.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's they're a P&G brand, right?
Procter & Gamble. Yeah.
Right.
Procter & Gamble, that's a woman's company.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
true too.
They make household items.
Right.
I mean.
And they've been doing these ads, these social justice ads, quote unquote social justice ads, you know, for what, like last 3 years, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, and their slogan right now is like proud supporter of moms, mm-hmm. as the Procter & Gamble, one of their slogans. I mean,
well, we played the 88 ad, and it's fairly socially directed. Yeah. I mean, it, mm-hmm. So we start with that, and you come in right on the tail end of that, and so people are still fighting about the Gillette ad. Mm. And then over the weekend on Friday, you have Ben Shapiro at the March for Life. This was a weird weekend, and I knew we wouldn't get through it unscathed because you had the Women's March, you know, which had a few tens of thousands of women there for that march. Then you had the March for Life, which any tens of thousands to hundreds of thousands of people, depending on, you know, are you on a right or left media outlet. And then you also had LibertyCon, so you had all these college kids in for the libertarian-leaning college kids, and there's more MAGA in the college kids than you probably realize. So I was wondering if we'd get through unscathed, and we didn't. But it started with this was an embarrassing weekend for the media, and it kind of challenged that whole idea of we're, quote, guardians of truth, and we're keeping the powerful accountable. Because we started the weekend off with a lot of the mainstream media reposting an edited clip of Ben Shapiro's March for Life speech where he talked about it's an internet meme, would you kill baby Hitler if you could go back in time? And he said, well, no, we wouldn't want to kill baby Hitler because baby Hitler has a chance of not being Hitler if we raise him in a different environment. And this liberal activist took that and edited it selectively. And all these major media outlet companies and leftist clickbait mills all took that edited thing, just blindly reposted it. He lost Quip toothbrushes. He lost another sponsorship. He lost two sponsorships. The app Calm dropped him. Meanwhile, they were ignoring the blatant anti-Semitism taking place in the Women's March on the stage. They're painting the Orthodox Jewish guy at the March for Life as the anti-Semite, while real anti-Semitism is taking place on the Women's March. It's very odd. Mm. So that was Friday, and that got everybody worked mm-hmm. up. As well, on Friday, you had BuzzFeed put out this report that said that they had sources, which they weren't really confident in, but they believed. BuzzFeed, the people who feed you quizzes, believe that Donald Trump had instructed Michael Cohen to lie under oath. In an extraordinary move, the special counsel's office, Mueller never actually responds to anything, and he says BuzzFeed's report was absolutely false. So you have all these major media outlets just following all over themselves about this conspiracy theory and reporting it as fact. Because sources say, and if this is true, then X, Y, and Z. And so people are literally pushing fake news under the guise of, we have an unconfirmed report, but we're going to run this. And so you hear it 150,000 times today, so it becomes truth in the zeitgeist. And then that gets completely debunked on Saturday. So then on Saturday, around mid-afternoon, you start seeing your friends tweeting out this video of, and I'll be honest, I completely let my followers down. I fell for it completely. I posted bad memes. I later had the next morning when I really started to see all the videos, you know, because I get hit with all the alt-right or the conservative people on my page who just disagree with me because they're just completely sold out to the MAGA crowd. So I didn't take that seriously, and because those are the people who are always posting the same different theories, and you know, and you just go that this is why you should keep your powder dry. If you're a person who says the narrative is wrong, and if you do it every day, we ignore you when you're actually right. And so you see this video of these they look like complete psychos, and they're in the face of this Native American, and they're all in MAGA hats, and like they're staring them down. It's just like gross, and it gets into your group chats, and everybody like gets outraged by it, and you're just like, how could this happen? And like, for me, it confirmed all of my different fears about like Trump and his effect on politics, because I follow all these young guys on Instagram, and they're just like, they're Trump, they're being Trumpy, and it's just not healthy for them and for society. And so I'm just like, look at this. This is why you can't have an immoral president. And I look like a complete a-hole, like most people did. Then the story kind of unfolds over the next 24 hours, and we'll discuss all this. I'm just kind of giving you all the stuff that happened this week that especially the media completely got wrong. You know, the Black Hebrews, if you really go back and watch these videos, the Black Hebrews in the video are responsible for all of this. They don't get mentioned at all. Today, I'll save that one, but then that evening, the Native American guy, Phillips, is on the news crying and, you know, it's like this emotional appeal, and literally everything that came out of that guy's mouth on CNN and in the Instagram video that you probably saw was a complete fabrication. He totally lied. The media just legitimized the blatant lies of a liberal activist who was $2 million short on his GoFundMe but wasn't after that. He basically will talk about what happened, but he found some targets and tried to get violence to take place, children. And then not only do Hollywood – so even if the original narrative is true and these kids are staring at someone and menacing someone and chanting build the wall and saying a couple racial things, is the punishment having every Hollywood celebrity and journalist for BuzzFeed and reporters asking for yearbooks? This one guy actually lifted every single face and put it onto a chart so people could identify the individual people. People found the workplaces of the parents and started immediately calling Monday morning, even after it had been debunked, that the parents be fired from their jobs because they are the parents of the kids that were on the steps. They were called to be expelled. The administrators and superintendents called for them, said, this is not who we are, the archdiocese. Their entire community, their mayor, by the end of Saturday night, had denounced them. So is the punishment appropriate for staring at someone, even in a racial manner, a complete doxing, a complete societal shame, a lifetime of a Google history that can never be erased? Like, what is the appropriate, you know, Hollywood celebrities calling for these kids to be punched in the face, mm-hmm. journalists. One journalist got fired, actually, today from a fairly reputable publication, basically saying he wanted to punch them. It is amazing to see the people who, during Gillette, were going, this is an important message against bullying. We need to stand against bullying. And then 4 days later, they're bullying children on the internet. Mm-hmm. And the other crowd who is going, you know, I hated that advertisement. Ah, I'm against bullying now. Yeah. If you're consistent and you actually look at these things without the lens of your tribe, you go, all right, there's a way to be consistent in all this. So these news outlets barely retract their stories, most of them yesterday, long after all the video. I've never seen, I wish the Kennedy assassination had this. I mean, there was more than the Zapruder film on this. There was five different angles and two-hour videos.
Yeah.
There was a lot of video on this. And, none of the retractions get nearly the push that you get in that initial, you know, your phone just was buzzing with push notifications. Did you get a lot of push notifications about retractions or we got this wrong? You didn't. So then you come to today with a photograph comes out. We actually we could have been one of the first media outlets to have that photo of the kids in the blackface at the Spirit rally on the basketball. One of our contributors found it in a thread on the high school, and he sent it to me. And I was like, I'm just not – like, we could have gotten so much media, earned media, if like, me and the group chat weren't scumbags. We're just like, this is 10 years ago. These are not the same kids.
Mm-hmm.
Well, isn't it relevant to the conversation? No, not necessarily, because these are not the same individuals. Mm. So we decided not to put it out, not to push it anywhere besides our group chat. And then the Daily Mail, 5 hours later, had put it out. That is a school sanctioned event, so adults had to sign off on it, and it's apparently people dressing up in spirit, painting their bodies blue or painting their bodies white, not everybody, you know, allegedly one of the kids, the one that's really like the egregious one, painted up like Venom, the character. But it is, the intent was never to be racist, according to all these kids on Twitter and according to school members, because it's like a school spirit thing. And right, so it's like
it's a blackout.
Right. I mean, Harry, if Hannah puts up a picture of her on her Instagram in a charcoal mask, is that racist to you?
That's happened, though. Have you heard this?
No.
The charcoal mask that has led to like a blackface discussion.
It would be racist if she was trying to like sell me that charcoal mask, like use code Hannah and get 20% off. But no,
we made a joke about it because I have some of that, and you brought it out one time on the air, and you go, "What is this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
what are you doing?" And we made it a joke, but
and I use a clear mask, you know, for my skin.
Well, what's the point? I mean, yeah, you get to have all the fun.
But what I do dislike about it is that, you know, anyone putting black paint on their face is considered, oh, that's blackface, which ruins all drow cosplays. Shout out to Real Nerds. Go on.
Right.
You have no idea what a drow is.
Did you get that?
Drow, right? Drow?
Drow, wait.
Like
as
drow?
In the dark elves. Yeah, dark elves,
yeah.
Yeah, it's been a few years, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's ruins
here.
All...
He's here for a Minecraft wedding.
So oh, yes. Yeah, yeah. Thank goodness. Oh, good. Yeah. I had my friend Kelly, like, you know, she used to do this, you know, like, I'm afraid, because we got these drow, like, her, like, complete black, just, you know, in drow, like, at Gen Con. It was like...
Well, Black Peter, I mean, you may, I don't know if it leaks up into your area, but in Holland they have Black Peter, who is like a Santa Claus type figure, and he has a black face because of charcoal dust. And so he's a Christmas time figure, and there's a big discussion going on in Amsterdam. Over Black Peter, people who are like acting out this old myth. So, I don't.
That also goes with the legend of Hans Trapp too,
right? So, what it comes down to, I think, is intent. And you know, when that's hard for me to say because, frankly, I'm not the aggrieved party. I'm not the party that comes from a long line of people who have been oppressed through the force of government. And through culture. So it's, you know.
I know, you look kind of Irish.
I do. I do look Irish, yeah. But at the same time, it's I can understand why, yeah, Hannah's my oppressor. She's Aaron's oppressor.
Fake news. More fake news.
I know, I'm spreading lies left and right. So that was the end of it today. Now, that is 3 days of the media completely blowing it, us as a society completely blowing it. It was an exhausting weekend. It was tiring.
But it goes, like, the best thing about this weekend is to show people, like, hey, there's a problem with people just jumping on, you know, on unproven facts.
Yeah.
Seeing clips of videos and then just jumping on it. Of the understanding that we rely on the media to be able to sit on stories, get the facts, and then present the facts without the conclusion.
Well, here's how journalism works. You hear an initial source. Someone gives you a tip. You then go ask the power about that particular tip or the person involved in that particular story about the tip. Then you go back and you have a conversation with several other people. You have multiple sources, multiple conversations, and over time you hear a journalist working on a story, quote unquote. And eventually, by going to competing sources back and forth and government documents or a paper trail of some sort or cash changing hands and bank records, you can start to figure out what the truth is on a situation. And that's why journalism is important. But journalism is working on a story and trying to figure out what the truth is. What journalism is not is reporters for major media outlets just expressing their opinion or moral outrage at a particular situation. And I include myself in this. I should have done a better job. I was emotional about it, and I shouldn't have been, because at the end of the day, it was really kids just staring. Now, we'll give you a little more detail into exactly what happened in just a moment. We'll kind of flesh this out a little bit about the outrage over it, and then we'll kind of get into a little more of the granular details of what happened. You'll be surprised who has the best breakdown of this. I was emotional about it, and I made a couple posts about it, and I eventually had to go back and apologize for that. I said a lot of things that I believed. I still believe that Donald Trump is harmful for the political discourse in America and the world. Now that we're international in this particular episode, but at the end of the day, violence was not used here. And when you really step back and go, violence is the problem. Force is the problem. And if somebody has crazy beliefs, then as long as they're not forcing their beliefs on others, let them be ignorant and persuade them of a better way over time. And so these are teenagers who, if you see the original narrative, the first narrative, and them acting in the MAGA hats like in a crazy way, you go, well, these are teenagers. It's not a boys will be boys argument. It's that you don't have a lot of life experience. You know, Hannah, you are in your early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
I won't out you on your particular age.
Mm-hmm.
But you're in a time period from, like, I think from, like, 17 to 24, you are a different person every 6 months.
It's horrific. Time hop, Facebook, whatever, the memories. Oh, it's horrific. Yeah, my viewpoints change constantly.
Constantly. And why is that?
Education, learning more, just understanding consequences. Actions have consequences. I mean, yeah, life experiences.
It's the push and pull, the friction of life, getting out there. You now have a big girl job.
Yeah.
You have to interact with people that are different than you.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of change that happens in that particular time. And so we should be, in my opinion, forgiving of you when you were 17. I mean, what are some things that you thought even a year ago that you just look back and you go, I was an idiot?
Well, at 17, I was 100% neoconservative. I didn't want gays in the military. I don't care if you're gay, just don't do it in front of me. And I don't think kids should see that at 17. Now at 23, I'm like, wow, what a stupid way to think. Like, what a disgusting viewpoint. I mean, it politically, it's limitless. Like,
so what are some ways that you changed your mind? Like, how did you come about with different, like, what are some specific things that changed you on those things?
Well, like, you know, going to college and actually meeting
a diverse, the gays?
Yeah, meeting the gays. No, seriously. Meeting the gays, the first time I'd been around different cultures. Definitely the first time I ever saw, like, a Muslim was in college.
Right.
I mean,
so at 16, 17, you're not going
to
have,
don't have that exposure. And they go to an all boys Catholic school.
Right.
So their diversity is even less probably than mine was in Appalachian, Indiana.
Well, and what age did you move to Norway, Chris?
Oi.
Oh God, another detail.
Another detail.
Like early 20s.
Early 20s.
Like I just think that we each of us have different experience, different life experiences. Like Hannah has taught me, you know, the last time she was on we talked about like her experiences as a woman and talking about how she feels about certain things made me change my behavior. I'm a 35-year-old man that feels like he tries to be respectful of women, but through my interaction with her and talking about her worldview, I became a more respectful man, a different man. And I will consistently change over time. I imagine that when you move to a different country and you experience people who've lived in a completely different side of the planet, that changes you in a significant way because you're exposed to so many different new things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it doesn't even actually have to be that you're in a new country. It could be just getting married and moving away from your family and getting closer to somebody else's family. And they do things differently. And you have a different perspective on how you were raised and whether you can have different ideas of whether you think your parents did the right things for you when you grew up.
In my situation, I married a woman years ago who had a family who probably lived next door to Hannah's family three generations ago in West Virginia. And boy, was I shell-shocked by it. I mean, Harry, you have
doing Easter dinner on the front porch. That was like on paper plates. I was like, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah. So I think that you have to cut children slack. I think I think it's a great lesson.
Hold on. Those kids, right?
Uh-huh.
All boys school, Catholic school, right?
I don't... I don't want to talk about specifically what happened yet. We're going to get into the weeds of what happened. I'm talking about our general initial reactions and what we could have done differently.
Okay.
So
I'll save that.
So I think stepping back and looking at this, I personally should have gone, I'm not going to post anything about this yet. I'm just going to kind of watch. Because I haven't, I've only watched the one video, and now we know we all live in a panopticon, which a panopticon was, it was,
I was going to ask you what the hell that is.
A prison in Pennsylvania where you had a slit in your cell, and so you didn't know when a guard may be watching, and so you just assumed they were always watching. And that lack of privacy eventually completely made you insane. And I think there's an aspect of social media, because everybody has a camera in their pocket, an aspect of feeling like we are never quite safe and secure. We're never private. Not, like, you have to teach your kids, like, you have to have the talk, which is if you do something stupid, or not even if you do something racist. Like, in this case, the imagery of it looked racist, but nothing that they did seemed to be even remotely racist. At one point, if you watch another angle from another point of view, they're defending gays. Like, the black Hebrews say, you know, your president is gay, and they all go, who cares? Like,
right.
These Catholic teenage boys in MAGA hats.
Because Trump doesn't care if you're gay.
Right.
All right. So, listeners, mark this on the calendar. Spangle used a word I'd never heard of before, like the pendocta what?
Panopticon.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's,
so it,
I
didn't look at
anything about that.
Yeah,
that's new.
There is
me. That's,
there's a lot of conversation about social media being a panopticon and it driving us mad. And I think that when you look at our reaction to this,
so that's why I keep saying, like, the I got that from one podcast I was listening to, Sovereign Tech, was the social media is like lead pipes of, like, in the Roman Empire they used. To get flowing water, the upper crust would use lead piping to pipe to send water, have running water inside their houses. It would drive them crazy, but if you get the norms, so basically the internet or social media at that point is like the lead pipes. That's why I keep always referring them as the lead pipes of the internet.
Right. Yeah, and I think we have a lot of good things, and as I talked in the Alan Frank podcast in episode 3, there's a lot of good things, like we do realize that there may be an issue of police brutality. And that, I mean, I don't think it's May. I think there's an issue.
Yeah.
You may not, but I do. And I think it is because I have this awareness. Like, you, a photograph is just a little still moment of time. And think about your own life in a situation where if you go to a wedding, and you're at a wedding, and then you go back and you look through all the photos, there are beautiful little still shots of singular moments in that particular wedding. But they never really capture the entire essence of the event because there are so many different pictures. There's so many, like, you have to remember when you're watching things online that you're looking at specific tiny little pieces. You're looking at still frames of a big moving event. And so you're looking at that one little moment in time where this boy is staring at a man's face and he's this, we think, Native American, you know, upstanding veteran who was in Vietnam. He wasn't. Then, yeah. You haven't heard that?
No, he really wasn't.
He was in the military in the Vietnam era, but he joined in 72. We left Vietnam in 71. He was too young to be in Vietnam, and he lied in his interviews about that and let people lie about that particular piece of information. That's one of his lies. You trust me, you're... Whoa. This guy... He's an opportunist. So, but we're looking, and I didn't do a good job of thinking this through, but, like, I realized afterwards, you're just looking at one person's specific little angle through the way that they want to edit it. And I, as a video editor or a podcaster or a photo editor, like, I do media production, I can make you look any way I want you to look. Like, and people are very good. Like, even I watch some of those, the interviews that the Borat guy did on this TV show, and you go, I do this for a living, there's no way that he fooled these guys into saying this. And then you hear the behind the scenes and you go, oh, he's really, really fucking good
right.
at fooling people. So you have to remember that it's just like, you can't get outraged at one person's point of view. You have to stand there and go, other people have different experiences in the moment, in life, and we've got to like listen to that stuff and take a beat and just have some patience for it. Harry, you okay?
Oh, sorry. I was watching the Great White Rhino go after people in the chat room.
Oh, Reinhold is full hot on this deal. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I honestly fuck conservatives because here's the deal.
That's who mostly you swipe right on, so keep going.
I consider myself closer to conservatives, so I'm probably a little harder on them, but... All these people gloating on social media right now.
I'm annoyed.
The reason that you didn't post about this is because you knew it looked bad for your side.
Exactly.
And then now, 2 days later, you're sitting there going, I'm a genius. You're all idiots. Right. Suck on my balls.
Well, but yeah, you got that. But
you don't deserve the victory lap you're
no.
taking.
But Julie Borowski.
Mm-hmm.
Not friend of the show.
No, yes, she is. We love Julie Borowski. We just had a former co-host ask her unfortunate questions.
Did post, like, it is very important to stand on this point because of what happened, of the fake news, and them doxing and going after these yeah. kids. That, you know, like, you should make this point, regardless of the other stuff like that, is like, hey, you know, granted conservatives stand on that point, but there's other implications beyond
even though I was outraged by the particular incident, like Christopher Titus, the comedian, tweeted doxed these kids, and I replied back just saying, what are you doing? Like, these are children.
I didn't see Titus to get into it.
Stand-up comedy is like the majority of the people that my work account follows. And over the last 3 years, that has gone – there's more comedy on my personal account, which mostly follows regular people and libertarians and journalists. And the comedy account has become nothing but woke politics. Like, it's insane. But
– yeah, like, why would Titus do that? Why would we even get
– Kathy Griffin, who we talked about on this program,
yeah.
saying – remember when we did a whole segment on Kathy Griffin and her experience after being doxxed and bullied and harassed? And we were saying, this isn't cool. You shouldn't do this. Mm-hmm. She was tweeting out addresses and – anything she could possibly do to bring about the online harassment of these particular children. And I just said, you guys are – and like people were arguing with me, and I just said, you're grown-ups.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is – these are kids. They don't know any better.
Correct.
So I just think – I just look at it and go, have we lost our mind as a species? Like we are no better than the monkeys we evolved from.
Yeah. And the weird thing is like because how I came across the story was Saturday night gaming, right? Because like I usually take a technology sabbatical. I walk away from tech for hours at a time. If you don't do it, do it. Trust me. 8 hours, you'll feel great.
Right.
You know, at minimum 8 hours.
We all know that, but we're not going to do it.
Right, yeah, exactly.
I'm telling you right now, it's really fun. Take your phone, throw it in the trunk of your car.
I might miss something in the group chat. Like, people will be going in on Aaron, and I got to join in. Right. Like,
A tip is, I did this during Christmas, before Christmas, because I had exams. I had my...
He's foreign. He doesn't know what that is.
He knows who that
means. Harry put out a fist, and the poor foreign guy just started going... What? Okay.
That's me being from growing up on Martha's Vineyard, not being living in Norway.
Right. You
know. But I had my wife change my passwords for Twitter and Facebook.
Hold on. If he's making you uncomfortable, I can ask him to leave. Harry.
My mother grew up in Martha's Vineyard, and we only sold our property in Martha's Vineyard probably like 5 years ago.
All right.
Ago,
I want to make sure you're comfortable with him.
Let's get that straight.
Go ahead, Chris. Sorry to interrupt.
What I was saying is I had my wife change my password for Facebook and Twitter.
Great idea.
So that because I know myself and it's like it's addictive. My brain needs those clicks, attention,
serotonin.
And so I needed to study, and so I had her change the password until I was done with the exams, and that helped.
We got a great message. Let me jump in here. On our Discord, and there's the pepperoni. There's the guy that talks like I post a lot of great stuff. You really need to follow me. I'm very good. So
Discord.
This is on Discord, and he wrote, "Hey, everyone, just wanted to say I've been Facebook free for over 120 days now. I started off testing myself to see what 30 days without would be like, so I deleted the app on my phone and removed the bookmark on my browser. I never missed Facebook a single minute. I've been off it since, and I feel a lot better. I like debating and learning from others, but Facebook was not the way to achieve that. It forced me to engage friends and others through direct communication more instead. If anyone hasn't given up on Facebook, I'd strongly recommend it. I got the idea from Chris Spangle's podcast about how Facebook is unfairly censoring groups it does not politically align with, and the thought that they make billions by selling my viewership and time is absurd. I couldn't live with this thought, so I opted out, and I'm so much happier that I did." So maybe we ought to start the hashtag opt out or hashtag check out and, you know, get out there and do it. So that's one person. And I got another, as I posted this, and a couple other people said I did this. And man, this really made me feel a lot better. And I do think that there is something to the group psychology of a bunch of individuals virtue signaling to the other animals saying, "Hey, I'm with you. I agree." And, you know, we're not thinking about the human cost of what that kid may have to go through the rest of his life because we wanted to momentarily look good.
Yeah,
right.
I totally did it. I immediately, when I saw it, I was like, "Oh, no. This isn't good for the cause."
Right.
Like, the cause being not all white people are racist. You know, I got to, as a 20-something, millennial, I got to get out there and let people know that I don't support this.
Hannah's PR department had to go into effect, and she needed to make...
Did you see that?
No. But I'm saying, like, everybody feels that they have to make a statement about everything, and
yeah,
they release a PR statement.
I didn't do it on my own page, but I commented on somebody else. And what I said, looking back, is horrific, but I was like, "Yeah, you know, I don't think we should dox him, but I'm not going to be upset if his life gets substantially more difficult from this point forward."
Right.
And that, looking back, I was so angry when the rest of the story came out.
Right.
I was like, "You made me look, like, now I look terrible." I actually went back and commented, like, "Update, I was totally duped. I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
Good night."
I released this big statement too, and then people start to say it, and I'm like, "I don't believe you." And then you start to go, "Oh, shit." And then you go, "I look like a fool here." And
yeah,
I look like a fool in front of thousands of people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's really embarrassing. And, you know, it takes a lot of pride. Like, there's a lot of pride involved. And so you don't want to go, "Hey, I was wrong." And so posting that status saying, you know, I'll have to look what I said. But it was basically like, "I got fooled. Like, I totally fell for it." I'm padding here.
And that's one of the great things about the whole moment of that is you got people who, frankly and also honestly, it's like, "Hey, I got duped." People who have the strength of character to come out and go, "I was wrong. I saw the news. You know, I went with these unfounded sources and I did that." You know, and it also showed the strength of character for other people not to shame these people who admitted that they are also wrong.
Right.
Yeah, so what did it for me is that the someone posted a video and said, "No, that's where the kids were supposed to meet," because I was under the assumption, because I had read in journalistic outlets, that they were there to protest the Indigenous People's March, and that was their justification. This one person said, "That's not true, that's where they were told to meet," which we now know is true.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I posted they were waiting on their bus. Some people have told me they were told to meet. And so I updated the story and I just said, unfortunately for the chaperones, they were wearing MAGA hats and told them to gather at a place where activists were holding the Indigenous People's March. Why I have a problem with the MAGA hat is if I'm a school administrator and you're in Washington, D.C. in the middle of the Women's March, or, you know, the kind of people that any leftist or, like, it brings out a lot of dangerous people, and you're just putting a big red bullseye on your head. I have no problem with free expression, but I just think from a safety perspective, that was a mistake.
But
some of them were wearing the white ones.
So I said, I got this 100% wrong. Some of the things I wrote in the last 24 hours are absolutely things I believe, but I was wrong about their intentions. Professional activists like Phillips, the drum man, tried to create this incident. They play the victim in the media after provoking the incident and make them look like the bad guy. I fell for it, and I'm sorry if I misled anybody. Thanks to this person for the video. And it, like, really sucks because you're sitting there going, I look like a fool. I'm embarrassed, but you've got to do it, or else you people are still now doubling down.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Now they're like, well, the kid still had a smirk or whatever. But the MAGA hats thing, did they bring the MAGA hats to the rally, or is this a Washington, D.C. tourist gift shop purchase? Because when my school went to D.C., we all came back, the boys all came back with FBI female body inspector hats. And if you'd have taken a picture at the end of the trip, everyone would have had those hats on.
Yes, great point.
So
on ours in sixth grade, it was like these knockoff Ray-Ban. You remember the wraparound glasses that PC Principal wears in South Park?
Yeah.
Those?
There's... trucks and stuff on the streets in D.C., you know, selling t-shirts and goofy stuff. And I'm just wondering if it wasn't like a ironic, like, let's go get MAGA hats.
It's a great point.
I don't know.
When we went during Gay Pride, and we had all rainbow stuff, so we had different photos.
You break out of the group psychosis of this, and you go, oh, there's all these different alternatives that it could possibly be.
Right.
Right, especially like from a Catholic Catholic school, maybe I'm mistaken, but I feel like it's not like all Catholics are Republicans.
There's a lot of Catholics who are
Democrats.
Let's look at the bias that everybody... This is the weekend, if you ever doubted that the culture is now officially liberal and it is female-centric, it is geared towards the things that the Marxist left really said. Let's bring about cultural Marxism, feminism... all these different movements, like, and there's a lot of good things about, someone said on Facebook, you know, you side with the SJWs a lot. And I'm like, there's not a lot. There's some things that SJWs say in terms of justice and equality. Mm-hmm. I agree with them. Diversity. Yeah. I think diversity is important.
Right.
To what we were talking about earlier. You expand your mind by being around diverse people. Like, there's things that I agree with because I actually listen to them instead of just thinking they're awful people. You know, and like one Twitter person said, you know, there's a lot of, this is a conservative writer who said, there's a lot of conservatives who went off the ranch this weekend and they really owe their people an apology. And it's like, okay, so don't stray off the out of the tribe or else you're going to get killed. No, I mean, on the Gillette ad, I think, you know, you and I feel a different way than most of our quote unquote tribe feels about that Gillette ad.
Yeah.
I watch it and I go, I like a lot of the values in here.
Yeah.
And it sucks standing on the opposite side of that, but
you have to. I mean, I have changed. I look at these guys on my Facebook, and I'm like, well, I thought you were decent. But they're coming out, like, protesting this ad, and it's like, so you don't believe in, you know, courage,
fatherhood.
Integrity, strength, fatherhood.
Equality.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like I said, the other problem I had with the ad was the toxic masculinity line in there, and then when the dad was, and they stole the bit from the Karate Kid, okay, when they stole that bit there, and then that the dad didn't just immediately give them boxing gloves and a ring and did a ref, that's what I
would... Make it voluntary.
Should have armed them.
Made it safe, gave it rules, and that they agreed that they punch each other in the face.
Well, I thought there was a very misogynistic part of that particular ad, where, I mean, as a woman, if I come out and I start saying, hey, sweet tits, nice, and then Harry steps up and goes, hey, bro, stop that, like... Isn't it on you, Hannah, to tell me that's not cool as opposed to asking Harry to defend you?
Mansplaining her.
Yeah.
I'm asking
so
her opinion.
I struggle with this because in one section they say, the guy says, well, what she really meant is, you know, and so that's the misogynist. You know, we hate that, right? But then when the clip with the guy catcalling, then the other guy stands up for her.
Right.
It's like the same situation, but it's okay here. It's not okay here, and it's okay here.
Right.
I don't know.
The idea that you're teaching women to be strong and strong-willed and to stand up for themselves, but then you're telling men and that is their responsibility to tell other guys how to like in that situation. Like, to me, it felt like they were saying take agency away from the woman. To like, if you ask for help, then the man should help you. Like, or there should be some conversation on a group of men, like, we know how to treat each other and what things are appropriate or inappropriate. But really, if I'm disrespecting you as an individual, it's between you and me. Like,
yeah, but personally, I would want, I think guys should, the catcalling thing, it's not gonna work for you. Like, seriously, just stop. Like, and so I'm there, but I'm not, like, you know, I'm not that type of feminist. Mainstream. What are we calling it? Third wave.
Third wave.
Yeah, I'm not that type of feminist. So I'm saying, yeah, stop each other from doing that. It's embarrassing, and it makes everyone feel awkward.
But I don't. I think that from an if you sit down with a guy and you have as a woman and like we've had, you say from a woman's perspective, you know, one of the tomorrow night Amanda, if you remember Amanda's story, we'll be here. We're talking about the surviving R. Kelly thing. Like Amanda sat down and said, here, when you say this and this and this, you remind me of my abuser because you're being controlling, you're being passive aggressive, you're being. That's what changed me. It wouldn't have been Harry going, bro, that's not cool.
I understand.
Right.
Yeah. And if we get the white male to be quiet for a second. The one thing
you are dressed in a penguin costume. Don't you disrespect me, sir.
The one thing I got from it was not that the guy was.
Did you just see the comment on YouTube?
No,
the testosterone is low on this one. Go fuck yourself, Brian.
Extremely low with this.
You're the exact type of person that is everything wrong with society. If you're not joking, delete this YouTube channel. I don't want you anywhere near We Are Libertarians. You're an absolute asshole. Now, if you're kidding, then I appreciate a good joke. But if you're not kidding, you're the type of person who doesn't want to listen to anybody else. You have a closed mind and an open mouth, and you're absolutely useless to society. You're worthless to the conversation. Delete your Facebook account and get a job. Stop playing video games and quit being a little beta fruit cake.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Just Thank irritating. You. But I'm if you're kidding, we're friends.
Which fruitcake is great with rum.
Thank you.
You know,
just... beta behavior. I'm so tired of these.
Where's the testosterone now?
Respond
where's
to this.
Testosterone
yeah,
now?
Respond to this in your truck rant.
Yeah,
asshole. Go ahead.
The testosterone in my body is regulated by the doctor. That's fine.
Good for you. Proud of you.
Thank you,
bro. I'm totally gonna get T replacement at some point. Anyways, you were saying. Go ahead. Just irritated me.
The one thing I got from it was not that the guy was stepping up to protect the female. It was more of the guy going like, hey, culturally, no. I'm seeing that as a guy, and I'm saying that as a no. No, no, no. So just giving guys the idea that, hey, if you see another guy doing it, just tell him like, hey, dude, that's uncool.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I hate that. No. No.
Yeah. All right.
No. But it's the same thing if you see your guy like, oh, I'm going to get a Tesla. No, dude. No.
So my thing is, yes, females need to stand up for themselves, be more vocal, but this commercial was not about that. This was towards men. So we're not addressing all the issues in this one commercial. Yes, women need to be more assertive. We discussed that in length on the Me Too episode. But that commercial was not about that.
Right. What was it about to you?
This was directed towards men. Hold each other accountable. Be courageous. I thought it was like, be more manly. And when I heard the toxic masculinity on the news report, just like you said, they were putting you in that space. And then immediately after they say, is this the best a man can get? I thought it was like saying this whole man hating, is this the best men can get?
Right.
And then like, here's how we've caused it. And then here's the examples of people who are doing good and, you know, are on the good guys team.
Yeah.
I thought it was a good balance of both. Like some already are, and they give all these good examples and all these clips of men being men. And it was great. I mean, I don't know. I thought it was like, yes, we need more masculinity. I like masculine men. So
yeah, and true masculinity, the one that's just, you know, steps up to the crowd of go like, hey, no, I'm going counter what the rest of you guys are saying. I'm just saying what is right.
Right.
And regardless what the other group is saying.
So I have a really cringy example. On my Facebook page, a lot of the hillbillies from my hometown were sharing this. It's Graham Allen. If you're familiar with Graham Allen.
Yeah, what's up with that? I've
heard. Who's super, Graham Allen? Super internet douche, and I love guns, but he's like a Second Amendment douchebag. Like, he's fighting for things that are not threatened, like just making stupid arguments.
Brian,
like,
from the YouTube comments.
Right, exactly. He says, practicing our toxic masculinity, hey Gillette, does this offend you?
Yeah,
it's his son
yeah.
holding a shotgun, another one holding a handgun, and he is holding a rifle over his shoulder. The irony of it is his daughter is in the middle of all three, and she is unarmed.
Really?
And at her age, I believe I had a 410 shotgun.
I mean, so there could be reasons.
What's her trigger? Discipline? What's the
Yeah, the girl could not have been comfortable, you know.
So no gun, disarmed. Rely on a man to take care of you. Maybe this is toxic masculinity. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There
could be son's finger. That's what I feel.
Well, there could be other reasons for it. It could be, you know, mom's behind the camera going, too young. Or it could be any number of reasons.
Right. But it's like, this had nothing to do with guns. Why are we, you know what I mean?
It's the Kate Bennett Liberty Hangout. Like, this.
SEO.
Yes.
Are you offended now, snowflake libtards?
Yes. They're so bad for the cause. Oh, right. My gosh. You can own guns and still be classy. I don't know if anyone's ever told you that.
Go ahead, Chris.
One aspect that I don't think I've seen anybody else mention is that in that commercial, they're talking still about men. And they say something about, I only watched it once. They say that something about, like, how you're, because there's some parts of the clip of how, like, young boys, how they're behaving, and focusing on that, and like focusing on what kind of men they will be someday. That one interesting thing is they didn't, you know, they're talking about what kind of men they're going to be someday. It wasn't what kind of person they're going to be, whether they want to be a man or a woman someday. It was still about...
It was a choice.
Two genders is what you're saying.
Yeah, it was still about two genders. It was still staying within that normal two-gender norm, which
they
was
didn't
interesting.
Give in they to didn't. The social pressure of... you're a Zen or a that. Yeah, I noticed that too.
Mm.
That, like, we're actually using the term men and boys and not... people and children. We used men and boys.
It
was honestly kind of refreshing. Sorry if that offends anyone. I thought it was refreshing.
No, I think that's part of the reason of the outrage is that men are tired of being... I mean, we've talked about this. Like, men... weigh in on this, Hannah, and either of you guys, but I'm tired of being condescended to. I'm tired of being the world's problems.
Right.
I'm tired of trying to make an effort to meet millennial women where... a decent man would, and as a person of values, like, trying to live out my values and not be hypocritical and not say, like, to me, aggression and strength aren't a virtue. That, you know, that is the Trump version of masculinity, and to me that kind of rings hollow. Like, a real man believes in a lot of the values that were articulated in that.
Right.
You are a person who upholds justice. You are a person who protects people who can't protect themselves. You are a good father. You are, like, it had a very conservative message at the end. The very last point was be independent, be an individual, and be self-reliant.
Right.
And it's up to you to make a choice whether or not you want. So there were very conservative messages, and I think the confusion of all of this now is, you know, we've got guys like Brian on the YouTube comments who's continuing to go and say, you know, I have too much estrogen, that's why I'm emotional. It's like, those are the kind of guys who sit there and watch the truck rants and, you know, trigger the libtards, but then implode over a Gillette ad, and it's because you're fragile. You have a very fragile ego, Brian.
Right.
You're the type of person, I'm assuming, that can't handle differing opinions because you're insecure about your own. That's probably just a hairball being coughed up under the table.
No, it was me kicking a cat toy on accident.
But, you know, the people who try to push this strength, should listen to what Jordan Peterson says, because that's a guy who is talking to men on a very real level, because there's a need for men to actually have a framework to be healthy, successful men.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it is not trying to make them... women and making women men. Like, men are terrible women and women are terrible men, and there are gender differences and there are gender roles, and there is a shift happening in society about gender roles, and we're trying to navigate and negotiate that. And the extreme parts of the hyper feminist and the hyper meninist, like, they're making it difficult for reasonable people to have those conversations about what it means to be a man. But every time I have these conversations about men's struggles and things that men face, inevitably the female that I'm talking to, but women have it so much worse than X. And it's like, you just completely invalidated every feeling or emotion that I have. And if I did that to you, you'd call me a mansplainer.
Right.
So why is it okay for you to do the same thing? because you're the oppressed. Like, I'm sorry, we're not playing that game. If we're going to play equal, let's be equal. And a man's feelings and emotions are just as valid as yours might be.
Right.
I mean, am I sounding like an asshole?
No.
No. And if you're living with the virtues explained in the Gillette commercial, when you do express your emotions, you're going to be validated for them. People are going to respect you.
Courage.
Now, if you're like a commenter on the YouTube page, just you think that aggression is masculinity and you're total beta. When you come to people with your complaint, your emotions is going to be seen as complaining or something like that. So
right. Any, if you show a weakness is weakness is different than vulnerability. Like
right.
Vulnerability is knowing when to share it in the appropriate place and to the appropriate people who have earned your emotions.
Right.
Whereas weakness is inexplicably just being an emotional baby
it's
in the wrong
place.
It's the
guys on Facebook saying, like, no girls want a good guy. Like
the punch card?
Yeah.
Nice guy punch card?
Yeah. Like, no, nice. That's what it is. Nice guys.
Nice
well,
guys
I'm a nice guy, so.
I'm in the friend zone.
Yeah, those guys.
Please explain the friend zone from a woman's perspective. How do you view that?
What do you mean?
Like
the people,
like the guy who's like the guy that the meme's making fun of. I've give 10 nice guy punches. You owe me a sex. Like,
I haven't. Oh,
like the, you know the friend that doesn't really quite get it. Like you're like, oh, I'm in the friend zone now, or you know what I'm talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah. Ugh. I.
What's that emotion? What's that disgust that you're displaying here?
I mean, like it. Whenever somebody realizes that they're trying to get out of the friend zone or whatever, it's disgusting because it's like, oh, I thought you valued my time as a human, you know?
Right.
But it was all sexually motivated.
Right.
And then you feel totally objectified.
Right.
Like all the time that we spent together was just you trying to get sex.
Right.
So then, yeah. Yeah. Ugh.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you have a right to not have sex with people, right? Like
right.
You
yeah.
have you can't control your physical attraction either or your emotional, I mean,
And if you're just looking for someone just as like as friendship, you know, they have to understand that.
Yeah. I mean, it affects day-to-day life. Like there are certain things that I don't let guys do for me because I don't want the backlash of
What are some examples?
Like you know, going to lunch with people or going to lunch one-on-one with a male outside.
So the Pence rule for women, it's okay for her, but not. But no, I think overly intimate activities, and I don't mean sexual. I mean like too much bonding between a single male or single female when there's or if you can kind of tell like this person may have some interest because I'm sure you guys can all kind of tell.
Yeah, or, okay, if we're talking about, like, guns or something. Someone says they have a certain type of ammunition. Oh, I don't use it anymore. You can have it. And I'm like, I don't really want to take a gift from you because later you're going to throw it in my face and say, well, I gave you this and that. Like,
right.
I've had that happen multiple times.
Yeah, don't be that guy.
It's cringy. It's cringy.
Okay, yeah.
That guy's, like, offered to work on my car and then later been like, good luck. You know, I was too nice to you. Good luck finding another guy to work on your car. Like,
have you ever had a problem with that, Hannah?
Never had a problem finding guys to work on my car.
You'll never find anybody like me? Has that ever been the case?
Every time. Every time. Yeah. You just want a douchebag, mean guy. Like, you're verbally assaulting me, and you're telling me you're a nice guy.
All right. Okay. From a female's perspective, let's give the guys who are sitting there going, all right, I'm sometimes too passive aggressive. I'm sometimes too, I use the friend zone, like, from a woman's perspective, like how should a guy approach a woman? What does an emotionally healthy man or an attractive man look like to you? Now, obviously, attraction's subjective, but I mean, you and your female friends, when you talk about it, what do you say?
You mean like how to identify if you're in the friend zone?
No. I mean like when you look at a man and you think about masculinity in a healthy way, how do you view it?
Masculinity, I view as strength, courage, like standing up for your family, for your tribe.
Shirtless selfies with your truck.
There is a physical aspect to me of masculinity, just like there is a physical aspect of femininity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it sucks, but it is the truth that, you know, broad shoulders, big arms.
I think success. I think
yeah.
if you go into
confidence,
having been a guy who got stuck in the friend zone a lot, like I just approach female friendships like there's you can't help attraction, but you can help. Like you, if you develop feelings, it's what you do with those feelings and how you act. If those aren't reciprocated, that's really what where the rubber meets the road.
Right.
And if you go into it going, I'm going to just get to know this person. I am attracted to them. But if it doesn't work out, at least I gained a friend.
Right.
Because there's going to be another female that I will be attracted. Like it's this scarcity mindset that I think really kills a lot of guys because they're, you know, I got married because I thought I would never get another date when I was in my mid-20s. And then it was just like, boy, was this a mistake. And now it's different because I don't have that scarcity mindset. It's like
in the beard.
You know, the beard has helped, I think me. One of the worst things that happened to us as a culture is, you know how horrific it is when someone asks you, what are we? Mm-hmm. Like someone that you've just went on maybe one or two dates with and then they hit you with the what are we?
Trying to force a label.
Like what is this?
Right.
Well, it's like, is that so bad of a question to ask? Like, or is that actually being like courageous
so you're,
and honest?
You're saying pro-label or anti-label.
Does that actually happen?
I'm not saying.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
All the time. Yeah.
So where's, I mean, it's worded differently. So like, where is this going? Like, what are your intentions? Like, what do you see out of this? But it's like, you know, maybe the person's just asking to gauge the next path. Like, you know, are you pursuing an unrealistic target? Do you just want a friend? Okay, then yeah. we can be friends. Or if you're only engaging with this person for a romantic relationship and they tell you straight up they don't want one, well, I mean, is that not fair?
I
why
do,
is it so cringy when people ask?
I do think that there is there have been women that I've been interested in. They're not interested. I'm like, okay, I don't need another friend. You know, like my interest was
right.
romantic,
right?
You know, and so I think that there's nothing wrong with that. I think it's just how maybe the thing that we're trying to grasp at is the conversation. It's how you react to the conversation. Mm-hmm. I think if you're looking to be abusive to someone because they didn't validate you, that's the problem. But there's nothing wrong with asking the question. It's just accept whatever outcome.
Hmm. Yeah. Because there's a lot of times I felt like, man, this guy really doesn't get it. Like, he really doesn't get it. But I can't say, like, it's so rude to be like, just so you know, like, we're strictly friends.
Would it be fair to say that if you're listening to this and you're concerned about this, you're probably not the guy we're talking about?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. Okay, then there's this point. Because now if someone is honest with you, you ask, you know, what are we? And they say, just friends. How do your reaction to that will say everything about your character. Uh-huh. Because a lot of times I've been, like, completely verbally assaulted. Like, uh-huh. like what I was saying. Like, how dare you? I worked on your car. I did this for you. I did all this. Like, well,
right.
you had ill motivations, like, you know, you had ulterior motives when you did those things. So I don't know. I think everyone should probably be worried about it.
Does that work both ways? Because, like, there's sometimes, like, I'll be helpful to a female friend when I first start meeting them and I feel like they're flirting at me, like, hey, we're just friends here,
right?
You know,
think that's fair.
Yeah.
Because
you can use humor.
Yeah, because a lot of the time when I feel like they're overtly flirting at me, I was like, here's photos of my wife. You know, and yeah. just start throwing them at them. And I right. feel bad. It's like, look, I'm
and so to kind of circle it, back, I think we have a problem where we're focusing on the guys who are the problem. And so people in media, when they consume media, you, dear listener, who are listening to this, go, you internalize everything we say. So you're judging everything based on your own bias. So anything that is said on this program, you're thinking about how it applies to you, which is why that's how we craft the content. That's how we think about the topics that we do. We're thinking about you, the listener, right? And so when you hear discussions like this and it's somebody who is attacking men, you may be a perfectly decent man, but you hear, I feel attacked. You internalize it because you're in an in-group that is being attacked, you know, by an out-group. And so the tribal instincts kick in. And I really think it's how you conduct the conversation that matters a lot. But that's part of the problem. I don't think that women are sensitive enough to how... It's like I explained in the video with toxic masculinity. If I called Hannah a bitch right now, you'd be hit with a flood of emotions and a lot of different feelings about that, and especially the way that it might be delivered. And I don't think that women appreciate that when things like toxic masculinity are said, they don't fully appreciate that. The only time I've ever been told that I'm a misogynist or there's toxic masculinity, it's never been someone sitting down next to me, a female friend, going, hey, I want to talk to you about how you talk about women. It's never been that.
No, it's an emotional response.
It's an emotional response from somebody who doesn't understand the point I'm trying to make. They don't understand me because they're emotional and mad. And so it's an epithet. It's someone tossing a hateful word. Toxic masculinity, I think, reads to men like the C word or the B word for men. Mm-hmm. And women roll their eyes at that, and that's part of the problem. You're rolling your eyes,
Yeah. And
men are completely dismissed in this conversation because we've had 30 years, and this is not a bad thing. I have two nieces I dearly love that I want to be successful and have an equal opportunity at every opportunity. But like when you really look around, female home ownership is much better. College graduation is much better. You do really have equal pay despite people dropping in and out of the workforce, which shows the 75% drop. You have women – like I was at a conference this past year, and everyone over 50 was male and white, and everyone under 50 was female and intersectional. Like they were of different races, colors, creeds, and that's great. I want those people to have an opportunity, but like – I have a nephew on the way, and I'm going to go, why don't you learn a trade? Because white-collar careers, they're worried about making sure that they look good to shareholders, and so you don't have as much of a chance as your cousins do, the female cousins. So, and that's when men go, okay, I'm blamed for every ill in society. I have less opportunities. Whether they do or not, that's how they feel. And so when a razor commercial comes along, it feels very condescending, feels very unfair, and it doesn't even matter what they're actually trying to say. It's just, I'm tired of being the problem, and at some point, you're going to get what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And I watched the Brexit movie. I watched the Brexit movie on HBO. It's great. It's like, the people didn't get, Craig Oliver in the movie just didn't get in this scene where he bursts in and starts trying to control and this woman ends up bursting into tears going, you don't know what it's like where I live. You people have ruined everything. And I'm going to teach you a lesson. And those same people have not learned their lesson about Trump. Like, you haven't learned your lesson about Donald Trump. You're still condescending to me.
Right.
Here's 15 situations from this weekend alone where you didn't listen. You're lying. You're clearly, the culture is liberal, so we just automatically assume the guys in the MAGA hats are the bad ones, the religious people are the bad ones, and all that mocking that we did a few years ago of, oh yeah, Christian conservatives are the ones that are really put upon in this society. Like, at a certain point, the cultural conversation is automatically MAGA bad.
Right.
And that's unfair. Like, as a person who is not a Trump supporter, I don't feel my first impulse should be looking at these children in MAGA hats and going, oh, well, they're automatically racist.
Right.
Like, yeah. I think it's unfair.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
I'm just going to look at you two till you talk.
One thing with the Gillette thing that I think sparked some of the outrage is, and okay, so men have been saying feminism is cancer for how long now?
Harry on this program
and
since he came on the show.
Not the type of person that is like, well, you guys are saying this about me, so I'm glad they're saying it about you. I'm not glad that this toxic masculinity term is now popular. But it's not like toxic feminism didn't exist either, and men weren't talking about that. I mean, everyone's acting like this is the most offensive thing that ever could have been said, but we've been calling feminists feminazis. Feminism is cancer and yada, yada, yada.
It's marginalization.
For a long time. So this is, you know, perhaps a response to that. But also, is everyone in the marketing department at P&G female?
No.
Right.
Also, fact check, I've never said feminism is cancer.
I know,
cancer.
I was teasing.
You're the
OG meninist on the show.
No, whoa. Not a meninist. That's not a thing.
I've seen your truck rants.
I don't have a truck rant.
Subaru rant.
I don't have a Subaru. I don't know what that is, but I don't have a Subaru rant.
We're doing Subaru rants for now.
But I don't take when people say toxic feminism or feminism is cancer. I don't take that personally. So why is everyone taking? Why are normal people? Just a normal person.
Right.
Why are normal people taking such offense to toxic masculinity? Why?
Well, if you go ahead, Harry.
Well, because it's such a it's a term that is just used as a cudgel onto guys on the internet forums all the time because it's ill-defined.
Right.
And it's a term used by educated feminists against when they go back to their start dealing with the townies. So normal people who did not go to college.
Right.
That's who they use the term against.
Yeah. Harry is a very upstanding. He's one of, if not the best man I know, most masculine people I know. He represents masculinity to me.
Yeah.
And if Harry were in a conversation with a person who is just an idiot, but thinks they're very educated, who's condescending and smug online, they're going to call Harry, he's just full of toxic masculinity, or he's a misogynist.
Right.
And it's like, that doesn't fit the reality of my identity. My identity is somebody who actually takes pride in trying to be a man. And so...
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Right.
Yeah, like, my first, like hit, like, full face with, like, a feminist was in high school. Our health teacher was a feminist.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I hit it. You know, like, that's why I first got it. Like, my sex education was done with by a feminist.
Right.
You know, which, you know, honestly, our class better off for it. Sorry if anyone has any problem with that, but no. You know?
Interesting.
Lucky Lacey. Yeah.
Not that. You're wrong. You're off.
But I think the other thing that I've noticed about these particular situations, it's like with the Gillette ad, after a few days, it starts with the source material, and then there's a counterattack to it,
mm-hmm.
and then there's an attack to the attack, and then there's an attack to the attack of the attack.
Yeah.
And it builds and it builds and it builds, and eventually after a couple days, you're watching people on Twitter and social media have conversations about things that are not even a part of the actual thing. Like,
right.
There are people right now on Twitter arguing about the Catholic high school kids that have probably never watched any of the videos. They don't actually know what happened, but they know what their friends have said about it, and that's what they're arguing. That was their source material.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is the craziest part, is that we're making decisions based on – and we do this with politics. People are not actually going and reading, let alone theory. They're not going and reading bills, or they're not reading actual legislation, or they're not talking to legislators.
Mm-hmm.
They're just arguing based on what demagogues or a Sean Hannity or Rachel Maddow may have said, and they never realize that maybe some of those people, like a Phillips, comes along and manipulates the situation mm-hmm. to make him look like the hero and the kids look like the racists.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's using it for his own personal gain, and people are just trusting. People want to believe there are good people and there are bad people, and, like, I think people on the right are tired of feeling like they're always the goat. They're always the people who are on the wrong side of everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's you look at Karen. Yeah. Like, I know Karen Pence. I know her personally, and she was my ex-wife's sixth grade teacher. Like, I know people. I am within one phone call of the vice president at this moment. I know people that close to him. I've been around him and watched him for years. I have very big disagreements with the man, but fundamentally, he is not what the left says he is. He is not the cultural meme. Karen Pence is a very nice and decent person. And so for Lady Gaga to call her Mike Pence the worst Christian on the planet, the worst representation, and, like, you know, the only thing that you know about Karen Pence now is that she's teaching at this school that wants to electrocute gays. And it's like, if you actually, like, I haven't dug into the story, but I bet if I looked at the story, it's way less sensational,
mm-hmm.
and it's not that the school wants to electrocute gays. It's that they have a clause somewhere in some creed that says they're against this thing, but then they just kind of look the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reality of how this stuff works, and it's just – I think part of the conversation when we're online, we need to step back and go, I should probably go check. That's why Reinhold, I think, annoys people so much.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis is an incredibly bright man who – I'm sorry, Reinhold, who is a very smart man who goes and really looks at source material first and foremost, and then he just presents the facts to people, and people on the left and the right can't handle it, because when Reinhold starts actually publishing what the story was and all the facts about it, they go, they melt down because there's a little bit of shame too. It's like, I kind of know I'm like, we all know there have been times, and I did it this weekend with this situation where you're like, I'm arguing something when I haven't really looked at the source. I watched the one video, but then I didn't watch the other videos because I'm like, these people are just trying to push fake news, so I'm just going to double down. Mm-hmm. And like, had I been more intellectually honest, I would have watched the videos that Tad was sending, you know, but Tad's always on the opposite side of the main narrative, and so you're just like, yeah, that's Tad.
Good OT.
Right, but Tad was right about every single thing.
Yeah.
Like, now Tad's the authority.
So funny.
Right.
I love it.
Tad Western, good old Tad talk.
Don't doubt Tad. Okay.
I hope that everyone is more skeptical of the media after this weekend, though.
Yeah.
Why haven't we been? You know, come
on. I mean, we have been, yes. but the rest of the world that got duped, like,
yeah.
I was skeptical of CNN ever since I think it was like 2002 when like the Booty song came on and Don Lemon was going off on this person who came out with this Booty song when it was about making fun of a lot of different songs that were like that. But he was more wanting to attack this other guy who was basically protesting the other songs that were going on BET. So yeah. I've known Don Lemon, and CNN has been fake news for a long time.
Mm.
Chris, you okay over there? You got the jet lag kicking in. You hanging with us?
Yeah, I'm hanging on.
All right, if you have something to say, you just have to talk.
Just
to burst in. Yeah,
it was a long part of the conversation earlier. It was hard for me to say anything because I have a very different relationship to relationships.
Uh huh. yeah,
and so that's why I was.
That's okay.
I've been quiet for quite a while.
Yeah. Sure. We won't get into that, but so let's actually talk about what happened. Let's give you some facts. Now, as we talked about with Paul Joseph Watson last week, we believe that you are intelligent people, and so we try not to insult your intelligence. And sometimes that means that we're going to bring you sources that culturally right sources that have put together something that is succinct that nobody else has done. And I think part of with these issues where it's hard to look like, that's why people start with that's why the ACLU defended the Nazis in Skokie, Illinois. It's why you have to defend Alex Jones's right to exist as a platform. Yeah, there's property rights, and Facebook shouldn't be forced to do business with people. Like, they took away my Roku channel. Like, I can't watch Alex Jones on Roku anymore. That's where I watched him. Now, I'm a person who watches Alex Jones, but I don't believe the things that he says. I think he's comedy. I'm mad that they take away my right to find other information. But if you say Alex Jones has a right to exist on these platforms, I am interested in hearing what his point of view is, because he speaks to millions of people. Oh, you agree with Alex Jones? And that feels very uncomfortable, because then you're like, my vanity's kicking in, my pride's kicking in, I can't get tossed out of the group, I don't want people to think that I'm a conspiracy theorist, like, which is a term of just shame to make you not engage in specific pieces of information. And so it's very insidious, because they use our own social proof mindset against us, our own vanity against us, to not argue that, hey, I'm going to play you a Glenn Beck video, because I think the information is the most succinct out of anybody else's videos, and it's going to waste the least amount of your time. It's going to take 8 minutes for you to know everything that happened, but it's from Glenn Beck. So grow the fuck up.
Glenn Beck.
Oh, he will. Right. Right. And so I look at it and I go, I read Vox. I read Vox articles on here all the time. I read Think Progress. I read Raw Story every day. I read the Wall Street Journal. I have a prescription. Like, you just have to, like, we have a bifurcated media stream. It's, you know about bifurcated streams, Harry. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
and so all the dirty minds out there going, we'll explain later, Chris. They don't have those things in Norway.
When you're older.
Right, yeah. He's got 3 kids. I'm sure he's had a few. So all of a sudden you wake up the next morning and pissing on the wall.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good information in a lot of the various quarters. And, you know, we have the Rushville Republican and the Cordon Democrat, because in the 1800s, it was all partisan news.
Yeah, Brookville Democrat represent. Yep.
Hell yeah. So Glenn Beck put out this video, and I'll put it in the show notes because I think he put together a really succinct, it's 24 minutes. I'm not going to play it all. We're about 8 minutes into it. And Father Time here is going, he had his team, and Beck has a great research team. He's got a great prep team. What are you laughing about, Chris?
Nothing.
All right. I just wanted to make sure that if you had a thought, you could say it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. He's tired. He's getting tired.
Yeah.
I'm tired.
Do they have Bang in Norway?
They have what?
Bang.
Bang? No, I don't think so.
Do you drink after people in Norway?
I drink after.
Or germs? You have germs in Norway, or is it too cold?
We have loads of germs.
If you want to try this, you can actually have the rest of it because I need to sleep tonight.
Georgia peach sweet.
It's 300 tea. Milligrams of caffeine. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, bro. You're going to be lit. Nice. So he basically had his prep staff go through. He's got a great research team, and they put together this video. So where we're at in the videos in all of the different running themes here is the Indigenous People's March.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before I read this, let me kind of set it up in a broader perspective. Thomas Massey actually had a great interview. The school is in his district. Thomas Massey is a libertarian-leaning congressman from Kentucky. And this Big League Politics article, which I'll link to if you want to listen to it, let me just read some of what he had to say because I think it was very succinct and good. So the social media mob is a left-wing mob, Massey said. The right does not do this. It is considered harassment if it comes from the right. And if it comes from the left, it's just free speech. And there's your double standard. I agree and I don't agree because the left, he's beating up on the left, but the fact is the left has a long-standing history of using agitating, and they view everything from leftist activists, okay, maybe not every Democrat, but leftist activists look at things in the lens of oppressors and oppressed, and so whatever you do to an oppressor is acceptable. It doesn't matter how you treat the oppressor. As long as you bring down their power and bring up the oppressor, it's justifiable. It's the early days of Malcolm X. You know, the ends justify the meme. The memes. Now,
Patriots, Chiefs.
Starting in it started in the early 2000s when I was at CPAC, and there was all this conversation about how we need our own mob like tactics. We need our own restless giant, or MoveOn.org that will go out and harass businesses and advertisers, and they're, you know, Restless Giant and Move On. These are the people that got, and Media Matters, these are the people that got Ben Shapiro's advertisers to cancel because they have spreadsheets of all the numbers to call, and they put it out to thousands of activists. They're very organized. They have great networks. And so the left, the right has developed its own little mob squad. David Horowitz over at discoverthenetworks.org, I believe it is, or .com, he's really kind of been the one that has pushed this notion. Andrew Breitbart was a person that pushed this notion. We need to get in their face just as they're getting in our face. And there is a double standard. When the Republicans do it, when Newt Gingrich or Donald Trump steps up and starts punching the left back, that's outrageous. But when they just the media wants the Republicans and the right to submit, and when the right doesn't, they're violent extremists, which is why nonviolence must always be your main principle. And these kids really did show a lot of nonviolent restraint. And so social media it leans left, and the blue Twitter check marks really are better organized. They have made an industry out of agitation and community organizing, and they have much more money. And so when you hear people talking about Soros, that's what people are actually talking about. It's unfair that they have racketeering going on, and they're extorting these companies, and they're diminishing the Republican voice, and the harassment must stop. And so forever, Republicans have said, we're not going to engage in this behavior because we don't want to stoop to that level. And then there's a lot of people like Donald Trump who came along and said, we should stoop to this level. We need to punch them right back. So that was what I was reacting to. It's like, I don't want the right to engage in that. I don't want young libertarians listening to this to think that that kind of agitation is okay. I think you have to be more cerebral about it and be more persuasive as opposed to being a harasser. And so I'm very worried about that kind of setting up the template. But what happens with the left, Massey says, though, is they cross over into reality. They migrate off of social media and they start calling the city of Covington to get tax records and figure out where people live. They go to their houses and figure out where they work and try to get the parents fired. That actually happened. That's the difference. I mean, we all know Twitter's a dumpster fire, but try and take that fire and spread it into real life. That's what this is. This is bullying. Massey continued, it's almost like this big psychology experiment this weekend. Like freshman psychology 101, he said, you were told before you saw the video what you were watching so that when you watched the video, you completely fell for it. Framing. Think of toxic masculinity at the beginning of the ad. It's called framing. So, for instance, you were told before you watched this video that these kids were chanting build the wall, and you can't make out the words. You can't. You assume, yeah, they're chanting build the wall. In fact, they were not. It's really, if you watch the video in Audible, you were told this kid was smirking and that he had gotten in the face of this Native American, but that's not the case. The kid was smiling. He was trying to defuse the situation and broadcast to his friends that he wasn't feeling threatened, so they didn't need to feel threatened either. And then you were told that these kids surrounded that older man, and that was not the case. But if you were told all these things, and then you watched the video, it was not hard to fall for it, Massey said. But after watching the longer videos, I know that Nick didn't do anything wrong. I won't use his last name. He doesn't need that. He did what most 16-year-olds don't have the composure to do, which is to defuse the situation that was not of his own making and was a situation he'd never been in before. Everything he's been taught in his life prepared him to do the right thing, and that's what he did. So that's Thomas Massey. Now, we pick up with Glenn Beck in the timeline that he presented on YouTube, on his radio show, of the actual happenings and the events. And it starts with the Indigenous People's Rally. And the kids were all told to meet at the bus location. And showing up to the People's Indigenous Rally were the Black Hebrews. You probably haven't heard a lot about these, and these were the bad guys. And so the Black Hebrews have been there harassing the Indigenous People's Rally. They're on the streets here in Indianapolis. You may have seen them. You work downtown. I don't know if you've run across them, but they're usually under the Arts Garden. And they are... as Beck says, he's like, any journalist, any person that lives in New York, as I have, meaning Glenn Beck, understands who the Black Hebrews are and what they're about. They're violent people who are, essentially, long story short, the Black Hebrews believe in the Old Testament. They start calling, they're here to harass, they're calling them Uncle Tomahawk. They're shouting racial epithets at the Native Americans. At one point when Phillips walks by, they call him a name, like Gad, and Gad is essentially like an Old Testament monster. Mm-hmm. And so they're harassing them. They start harassing the boys. They start calling the boys names, Cracker, amongst other things. They start calling them gay slurs. They start saying, you know, Donald Trump's gay, and they're like, who cares? So let's pick it up there. So the Black Hebrews have been harassing the people at the Indigenous People's Rally, and then we're going to pick up right before the boys get there. You can go back and watch the rest of that context if you so choose.
Completely dismissed this. Why, I wonder?
He's talking about the Black Hebrews.
This goes back and forth for over an hour with the Black Hebrews. Hebrew Israelites, even resorting to calling other African Americans in the vicinity the N-word because they don't agree with them.
So the Black Hebrews are, he's talking about Native Americans have been engaging them, black and people who are there for the Indigenous rally are engaging them, and they are harassing everyone.
Now, it's about this time that the boys from Covington High School all begin gathering in large numbers, waiting for their ride home. We're going to play a small portion of what ensued next because it leads directly to the incident that would immediately go viral. But keep it in mind for later because I'm going to come back to this clip. This specific line of insults toward the Covington boys, again, directly followed another instance where the Black Israelites were being confronted for their racism and bigotry. Listen.
Look at all these dusty-ass crackers with that racist garbage on. Look at these dirty-ass crackers.
build that wall.
Can't stand in the damn sun for 5 minutes.
Build that wall. Why you don't build the damn wall?
Can't stand in the damn sun.
Let me ask y'all something.
Is that a common... Are you, Harry, I don't... You can't stand in the sun. That's a... Use that one when you're over
it's
in
so
Norway.
So true, though.
I know,
but it's the truth, though. Yeah. It's so the truth.
Right? Yeah. That's a
yeah. They can't stand the sun. Ra hates them.
Like,
you know?
They've been raising the temperature, but at that point, I would have been like, "What?
Y'all want to build a wall for Mexico's?"
Now, remember this clip because I have to come back to it. By now, not only the boys from Covington were getting annoyed, but the entire area in a 300-meter radius was trying to get the black Israelites to shut up. It was disunion and disharmony with everyone they touched. The high school kids, in order to drown out the racism and bigotry, decided that a pep rally would be louder than the hate coming from the street preachers. Now, this is also something they do every year. They have done this for 10 years. Every year, they meet at the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, and they shout their prep rally shouts. This time, it worked also to help drown out the hate directed mainly towards Native Americans. Here's what happened.
This crap is loud, huh?
Look at this fool, y'all. Look at this fool, y'all. Getting no more than he said the Hebrew life. Look at this.
One kid has his shirt off, and they're kind of in a line, and they're just doing a chant.
You serious?
Very teenage boy behavior.
This is their prep. It had nothing to do with anything. They've done it for 10 years, and it did drown out the hatred. Now,
to their credit, they found, and this jives with all of their statements, this jives with all of the video, what Beck is saying, they found a positive way to neutralize very negative people. Instead of walking over, I don't know that I had that level of common sense at 16, 17. Mm. Like, they had the common sense to not engage these guys in a very aggressive way. And they do engage Phillips and his crew later on, but they're constantly trying to diffuse it again. Like, they're actively there to try and keep it from becoming a thing. Like, I think that's... He doesn't do a great job of hitting that, but I think that needs to be said.
A kid thing to do, but it's honestly, I would much, if I were there, I would have said, thank God, look at these kids. It's much better listening to the bigotry coming from the mouths of the black Israelites, and now some, and I want to just emphasize this, some Native Americans who just lost their temper, okay? But right as this is going on, one of the Native American attendees of the Indigenous People's March approaches the Covington group. He walks away from the area that the Native American demonstration had gathered and walks right past the black Israelites directly into the middle of high schoolers. Now he stops right in front of a 17-year-old banging a drum a couple of inches from his face. This is the moment where it began. Watch and listen. Here comes Gad.
Look at our Make America Great Again hats. Look at the hats. We ain't taking. Look, we not taking. Look at Gad. That's right, Gad. Look at Gad.
Now, notice the drum beat with the chants. The kids are doing their chants. They don't know who this Native American is. They know that that Native Americans have been hassled by the black Israelites. That they have watched and seen. So when the Native American comes over, they think that he's on their side trying to drown out the black Israelites. But did you notice what the black Israelites were calling the Native American with the drum? They called him Gad. Here comes Gad. Here comes Gad. Gad? Who the hell is Gad? You have to go to Isaiah chapter 65. The black Israelites still are continuing to insult the Native Americans. This is a false god. So when he says, oh, here comes Gad, he is mocking the Native Americans. Again, the totem pole worshiper. Oh, now here comes their false god with the drum. Nobody in the media said anything about this. Nobody in the media had a problem with any of this. The black Israelites continue to insult the Native Americans, but not a mention of any of it. Now, the Native American, his name is Nathan Phillips. He is a 30-year left-wing activist. And he marches right up to one of the students and gets right directly in his face. Now, the media left all of the pre-stuff out. So you have no idea that these kids are actually helping the Native American.
Yeah, you didn't get any of that, did you? Like, there isn't any bit of it where you're like, oh, they're helping them? Oh, okay. Now, this is based on his, I don't know if it's direct conversations, but it's reports and tweets from the kids. And it's like, then the boy, the smirking, the one with the assault smirk, he is the one that is released a statement. So I don't know how much of this is him presuming and how much of it is him finding fact. I wish he had done a better job of that. But I think it's a good presumption to think, yeah, they're on our side. We've been on their side. Like you just wouldn't expect that a 30-year leftist activist who has no good intentions, because he's walking into a group of hyped-up teenage boys in MAGA hats, and he thinks, man, if I get a MAGA kid to punch me in the face, think about how great that would be. Man, I'll be rich.
How betrayed they must have felt. So as Nathan Phillips, the Native American, walks over with the drum, the black Israelites are still calling them names, the Native Americans, calling Nathan Phillips Gad, the name of a false god, and they continue to insult them, but not a peep in the media. Now, Phillips initially told the Washington Post the boy surrounded him as he was just preparing to leave. There is zero evidence of this. In fact, our video shows the exact opposite. He later contradicted this in an interview with the Detroit Free Press, admitting that it was he, not they, that initiated the contact. He also stated that he did this because the Covington kids were attacking the black Israelites. This is clearly not what happened. Clearly, if you've watched the video, it is painfully obvious. This is not what happened. The white boys stayed way away from the confrontation. It was a confrontation between the black Israelites and the Native Americans. And it was the black Israelites, who are known by reporters in New York to be vile, despicable street thugs. Now, Phillips' actions seemed completely at odds with every other Native American present at the rally that day. There was only a handful that were nasty. The vast majority were either debating or getting confrontational with the black Israelites. None of them were at odds with the high school kids. Not a single Native American. Not one. One of the catalysts for why some have say Phillips decided to do what he did was due to the claim that the boys were saying, build that wall, and they felt insulted by that. Now, remember, Nathan Phillips is part of a group that is against the border wall. No borders, no walls. Okay? That's why he was protesting. He was protesting the border wall. So, of course, someone wearing a MAGA hat has to be for the border wall. That's why he targeted that boy. Now, in interview after interview, he said they were chanting, build that wall. In zero instances that we have found on videotape, and we've watched it all, zero times have the boys said, build that wall. But we did find it, and I played it for you earlier. The organizer of the Indigenous Peoples March claim, I heard that. The New York Times quick to point out, that was build that wall. It's a quote, quote, a rallying cry of supporters of Mr. Trump. Which brings me...
Just to clarify, the only person that ever audibly said build that wall was the black Hebrew in the video that he played earlier. And that's what the New York Times reported.
Back to the video I told you to remember. Listen to it. But this time, listen to the black Israelite leader and what he's saying in the background to the Native Americans.
Look at all these dusty-ass crackers with that racist garbage on. Look at these dirty-ass crackers. Can't stand in the damn sun for 5 minutes.
Build that wall.
Can't stand in the damn sun.
Let me ask y'all something. Y'all want to build a wall for Mexico's...
He's saying to the indigenous people, build that wall, build that wall. Why don't you build that wall? They're so worried about the people from Mexico. So it was said, but it was said...
Let me correct back. That's actually the black Hebrew screaming that at a group of kids, kind of like standing around watching in MAGA hats. But the idea that maybe Phillips misheard that is totally makes total sense.
By the black Israelites... Not one of the Covington kids. Out of all of the video evidence from the entire event, the only time build that wall was ever heard was when it was said by the leader of the black Israelites. The media never did any of this work. They never looked at the entire body of evidence to find out what really happened. They saw young white boys from a Christian school wearing a MAGA hat, and they instantly handed out a verdict of guilty. Did Nathan Phillips do this as an activist looking for exposure? Well, I will tell you this about that old man who cried on TV. Here's what he said in an interview. Now that you have the video and you've seen it with your own eyes, exactly what happened, now let me repeat what Nathan Phillips said happened. He told the Washington Post and then the Detroit Free Press. They, the Covington boys, witnessed these individuals, the Black Hebrew Israelites group, on their soapbox about what they had to say. Well, they didn't agree with it, and they got offended. They were in the process of attacking these four black individuals. I was there. I witnessed all of this. And it kept going on and escalating. It just got to a point where you have to do something or you'll walk away, you know? You see something that's wrong and you're faced with that choice of right or wrong. And that is the moment when I knew I had to put myself between beast and prey.
That was a quote by Phillips.
These young men were beastly to these old black individuals, and that was their prey. And I stood between them, and so they needed their pound of flesh, and they were looking at me for my pound of flesh. It was ugly what these kids were involved in. It was racism. It was hatred. It was scary. I mean, if you go back and look at the lynchings that were done in America, you'd see the faces on those people, the glee and the hatred on their faces. That's what these faces looked like. The black Israelites were saying some harsh things, but some of it was true. These young white American kids who were being taught in their Catholic school, their doctrine, their truth. And when they found out that there was more truth out there than what they were being taught, they were offended, they were insulted, and they were scared. And that's how they responded. The one thing I was taught in my Marine Corps training is that a scared man will kill you. And that's what these boys were. They were scared. I'm still scared. I'm still feeling vulnerable. But I will not back down. This man is despicable.
All right. So then he goes on a two-minute rant that, like, I was playing the national anthem afterwards. You can finish the rest of that. That's his. He gives his opinion, and you go to Glenn Beck's YouTube channel and watch that. Yeah. But I think this is a really important learning moment for people. You don't realize that the news is manufactured sometimes by people like Phillips. Here's a guy who sees a group of kids. It's a great visual. This is straight out of Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky. I'm going to agitate. I'm going to go over and I'm going to provoke and provoke and provoke and provoke. And you provoke until you get a reaction. And then when you get the reaction, you scream and you send it. Why do you think that this video within hours was on major media networks? Because the left has networks to make that happen. The boys, you still haven't heard all of the boys' side. It's been days, and you haven't really heard in the media the boys' side. And that's because the left has built these networks to make this stuff happen. Now, I'm not for provocation, but I certainly think that building networks for libertarians is a fantastic idea for reasons like this. Because if you can get your story out, then you can prevent fake news from happening. And that's what Phillips tried to do. Phillips didn't expect that there would be so many cameras. So he did the most Alinsky thing he could do. He had one camera, his camera. He edited it the way that he wanted. And then he didn't expect that there would be 20 different angles on cell phones that would out him as a complete fraud and liar. And he is... Beck is right. He's a despicable person who picked on teenage boys to provoke them to get a reaction. He got the reaction that he wanted, and then he made news out of it, and then America got fooled. And so people are tired of being idiots. What I have learned in media and in politics is that if you make people feel stupid, if you make them feel like fools, if they feel like you have tricked them, they will turn on you, and they will devour you. And we're coming to a time very quickly. We're not going to have a civil war. We're going to have a cleansing. And I don't mean in a violent way. I think that the attention is going to rapidly turn away from these outlets because people are going to start questioning. This is, I think, a very healthy thing to have happened because we now see how left networks then make news with their left media partners. And we all get fooled, and we feel stupid. And so next time, we're going to go, let's take a beat. Let's see what everybody has to say about this before we actually comment. Mm-hmm. I hope that's the case. That'll happen for about 3 months, and then we'll forget.
Exactly.
Yeah. So. Yeah, pretty much.
I've had two people ask me this today. So what news outlet do we trust? You know,
we're people libertarians.
Who, right.
But yeah. I fell for it, so don't even trust me.
So, and I'm like, you don't trust any of them.
You can't. You have to just wait. You just have to be a good. You have to go to HuffPo. I don't say HuffPo. You have to go to The Atlantic, Vox. You can tell highbrow. Go to The Hill. Go to your mainstream news like The New York Times. Go to conservative sites like. I don't want to recommend the Daily Caller anymore. the Daily Wire, the Blaze, you know, see what the different conversations are. And when you start having conversations, you have to be your own journalist. And so being your own journalist, it's not that hard. All you got to do is go to Reason, National Review, and Vox. Go to those three sites and the New York Times website. You have four websites a day to read. Maybe go to Zero Hedge if you want the conspiracy fringy stuff. Like, go to those four websites. And you have a pretty clear picture of this kind of stuff. You just have to hear the differing opinions and then give it some space and time and see what the conversations are. And then you realize what the story was. Yeah. And it's not hard to do. I mean, what we have learned to do over the last couple of years is weed out the BS and find the real arguments. And sometimes they're on the left and sometimes they're on the right. Like, I know it was just beating up on the left, but this is a serious problem with our society is that you guys are creating fake news and then claiming that Alex Jones is, and he is too. But
yeah. The other thing is just like mass shootings, sit on it, mm-hmm. keep your mouth shut and sit on it and read the printed news about the mass shooting days, you know, about the week afterwards.
I think that's a great point. If you're watching TV news, you're having your intelligence insulted. You turn on CNN, you are being indoctrinated. Mm-hmm. There is something about the TV that is especially insidious.
Yeah.
And the print. Print is where you need to go.
For some reason, yeah, if they're willing to put it down in print, yeah. It is, you know, it's
you
it's
did,
just
you
different.
You couldn't trust your own eyes. Massey is right. They framed it. And so when you clicked play, you had the framing. Mm-hmm. In your mind.
Even with the supposed blackface today.
Yeah.
I mean, I said in our private group chat, I had said, like, I don't know if you saw those messages, but I was like, if you notice everyone else is wearing black, I think it's a blackout. And the response was like, oh, honey, no. And it's like, but wait. Then all the other pictures come out of all the other seasons where they did the same thing with different colors.
Right.
It's like, just because you have a photo, it doesn't show the context.
You're showing one little moment in time.
Correct, yeah. And with the printed media with that, the editor is like, whoa, what's this one photo that you're bringing up that you're writing an article on? They would just send that back, send it back down. You know, like, no. Research that again before we go and print this out. It's just different.
Yeah.
Right. Don't trust these hoes.
I know.
You got me called a misogynist today.
I did. It was the greatest part of my day so far.
So little old Hannah goes, I want a new Gadsden flag with Cardi B's face on it. And I found a perfect one with a tongue. And it says, don't trust these hoes. And we were talking about the media. And I posted it to the We Are Libertarians page. And the first comment is from some woman going, that's not misogynistic at all. And I could see from her point of view, like, you have no frame of reference. Like, I didn't do a good job of providing the framing of it, the context. And so, like, she's sitting here going, oh, great, another beta libertarian male page that's just pushing misogyny, which is not what we were trying to do. I just wanted to write, like, a woman made this about the media. And then she would have been like, okay, but don't trust these hoes. It's really well done. I feel I was very proud of myself.
I love it.
Yeah. So
you should have instantly, you know, put a photo of Chris fit with it, you know, with his shirt off.
Yes.
Yeah.
Chris, how you doing? You doing okay?
I'm good.
All right. You're a little sleepy, buddy.
It's a little sleepy.
How'd the bang treat you?
It was good.
But I feel like, and I don't know what the time difference is, but I feel like you're probably should be mid sleep right now, right?
Yeah, but I mean, after this many days, I don't think it's the
it's, so you're saying it's us?
No, it's...
So let me get this straight.
He doesn't even know what year it is.
Chris comes here wearing a Lions of Liberty t-shirt. He's un-American because he left. He was an illegal immigrant in Norway at one point. And then he has the nerve to fall asleep in the middle of my podcast. He didn't fall asleep, but I'm... comedic effect. Mm-hmm. We're very glad that you could come. It was very nice to meet you.
Yeah, I'm glad I could make it. It's really cool.
I felt like you were a little nervous at the beginning when you got here.
Yeah, I'm inherently not not the most outgoing social person.
Uh huh. Yeah.
And so I mean that's about that.
Well, I'm glad that you came. I only wish that you had brought me offerings. You know,
I did.
You did. Oh, it this is great. Okay. You know, we have people come from foreign lands. Like Craig came from Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought me macadamia nuts that got recalled because they could have killed me. But the
shutdown, so they didn't inspect them.
I, being dear leader, survived.
I ate them too, and I survived.
Were you here for that?
Yeah, I was here. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I got some over there. So
I was not offered any of those, but
you got coffee, and boy, did you!
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
You were wired thanks to that. So you brought dear leader offerings, did you?
I did.
Okay. I can't wait. I bet it's smoked salmon.
It better be.
No.
You probably maybe couldn't get that through customs, I imagine.
Maybe. I'm not sure.
Well, it's
better be a live salmon.
Smuggled smoked fish. I'm like, that tastes funny.
I'll start with the thing from Norway.
Okay. All right.
This is called Quick Lunch. I don't know.
Okay. Yep. Just one of the cameras. Yeah.
Quick Lunch. It's kind of like Kit Kat at bars.
Okay.
But better.
Let's hand it over. You know me, I like my sweets.
And it's traditional, like this is what Norwegians have together with an orange on their trip walking up a mountain or out, you know, cross country skiing. They bring Quick Lunch and some oranges or some clementines.
It's like the size of a Kit Kat.
The exact same.
It's Mondelez, so it's the same company. Let's see here. So,
originally Freya, but you know they keep on getting bought up by different huge
Take one and pass it down.
Globalist corporations.
Yeah, they're globalist. Not keto.
And if you look keto. On the inside there, they typically have some like tips on like some nice.
It's so helpful because it's in Norwegian.
yeah. But there's
very good. It has. It tastes like a Kit Kat, but with a little toffee.
Hmm.
It's very good.
Right. So yeah. This is like Fjellvettreglene. This is like the basic rules that you should follow if you're going hiking up mountains.
Okay. I don't think that I'll hike up a mountain anytime soon, but go ahead and tell me what the rules are.
Oi,
I'm sure we have some active people. What do you think?
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's number one, plan your trip and let people know where you're going.
This is some Norwegian wisdom. Plan your trip and let people know where you're going so you don't die in the wilderness.
Exactly.
By Instagram.
Okay. Take into account weather and avalanche
So far, I'm not blown away by the rapper here. I think I feel like
well, I'm reading it and then translating.
No. It's not you. I'm saying if I'm going camping, Hannah, I've checked the weather. Right?
Some people don't though.
Right.
Oh.
I mean,
and you know, some people, you know, they go, you know, hiking out in the and they get hit by a surprise winter storm and literally die.
I have an Aaron story on this. We went.
Aaron is her boyfriend. He is the most chatty member of the We Are Libertarians crew.
We went camping in the middle of a storm. It wasn't stormy first storm. We didn't check the weather, and in the middle of the night, I woke him up like our tent's about to blow down. He turns to me and says, "I've survived monsoons in Haiti. Go back to sleep."
See, that's a man.
And he went back to sleep.
Were you immediately just like, oh, daddy?
This is good. This is good.
Do girls call men daddy in Norway? Is that a thing there?
I don't know.
You're not a details guy. We know. So what else? What other offerings did you bring to Dear Leader?
So this is not a Norwegian thing. This is from my background as a member of the Unification Church.
Okay.
This, and I know you are very interested in Korean history.
Yes.
And if you're interested in Korean history, this is something you should take a look at.
Okay.
This is the quote unquote autobiography.
Okay.
Of
Sun
Myung-moon.
Right. And so he was from North Korea, correct?
Yeah,
originally.
Born in North Korea under Japanese occupation.
Okay. So this is, it says Alexander Haig here. Now, I always have called, it was endorsed by Alexander Haig. He was a United States Secretary of State. And I always call Harry Alexander Haig because when Reagan was shot, Haig tried to circumvent the chain of command and take over the United States government. And then George H.W. Bush was found and they said, nuh-uh. You are the Alexander Haig. So I'll give this to you after I'm done reading it. But thank you very much. Yes. So why do you think it would be something of value? Does it give you an insight into like maybe the Korean mindset of things? It's as a peace-loving global citizen by Sun Myung-moon.
It's an interesting perspective, mm-hmm. because it's from somebody who knows something about what Korea was like
right
before,
mm-hmm.
And like during and afterwards.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's also interesting because he's a well-known figure and both, you know, looked at as a cult leader, as you know, the second coming by his closest followers, but also he's positioned himself to be respected in a sense. He's that like guy that certain like Republican politicians have done things that show some respect, that they respect him for, in some sense, and yet at the same time kind of hide a little bit the fact how close that they are.
Right, right.
And so, like, you know, he founded the Washington Times. That book is published in the United States by the Washington Times Foundation.
Interesting, and which is a conservative leaning newspaper.
Right, and you know, so the Bush and Cheney and people like that have, like, showed up for Washington Times events and other. Also, I think Bush Senior went to South America once for the opening of another publication down there. I don't remember the name of. And there's also been, like, he's also worked together because
it says here, it was I'm looking at the Wikipedia page, anti-communism.
Right.
You know, that's probably why a lot of conservatives were interested in it. That
exactly
makes sense. Yeah.
Anti-communism, pro-family values. You know, there's a quote, like, I've come as the fireman to put out the fire of like, I'm butchering the quote, of, like, immoralism spreading in America.
Right, immorality.
Immorality.
Yeah. Right.
And so he's an interesting figure, both in relation to Korea, but also in relation to American politics.
Okay.
So I thought...
Yeah, I'm very interested in it. Thank you very much.
Is this another Asian that's going to teach us how to fold our shirts and put them in boxes? Because I'm about done with that.
I have watched all those episodes, and I, like...
Done.
Just...
That's not news.
Take some time and organize yourself. Like, you're praying to your house. Like,
none
I don't.
None of this is all of a sudden everyone's cleaning. You filthy, filthy people,
monsters. Yeah, it's a pretty decent show. If I don't feel
no,
that
we're
I got
not plugging for that show.
I don't think I got a lot out of it. I learned how to fold a tie.
You'll feel better if your stuff's organized. Oh, news.
No kidding. The CNN of. Organizing over here. All right, thank you very much for bringing offerings. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
So we'll let you go first. Do you want the first or the last word?
I'll go last.
Okay. Harry, what the hell are you wearing?
It's my awesome penguin onesie that I bought being drunk on Amazon one night. This is the only second time in public I've worn this.
Uh-huh. Where's the first?
The first was at work. We had onesie day.
You work at a grade school?
No, we work at a mass customization company.
Okay. All right.
You know, they don't make stuff like this because I would have multiple of these if they did make stuff like this.
If you could get that done and then embroider We Are Libertarians on the chest, that'd be great. Yeah, it's a little tight around the middle, though.
Should I say?
I'm just kidding. Harry's in, like, perfect shape with a six-pack, and I'm calling him fat. And I didn't mean to wound you, because your face was like, oh, man.
Am I
getting chubby?
Hit my body issues. Finally felt my chink in my arm, and I'm start crying.
If you start crying after this episode, no one will ever listen again. It'd be like these betas. Like, we already lost Brian.
Oh, it's okay.
Poor Brian.
He
got boss hogged in I don't know if you watched the comments. The boss hog got in there and started mixing up. And, you know, boss hog don't play.
His ego is left to a chemical imbalance in his brain, so.
Boss hog will feed you to gators, Brian. We're not afraid of you.
Snapping turtles.
Final thoughts for the episode, Harry?
Final thoughts. One, if you want to watch a video on Netflix about cleaning, watch The Minimalist. Throw away the junk. Throw away your junk. Get rid of your junk.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, have a packing party. Have your friends help you. Have a packing party. Get rid of your junk.
You ever have a packing party?
I plead the fifth.
Harry, how about you? You ever had a packing party? Maybe fudge?
Yeah, Chris, you was there. It was spring break.
How dare you? All right, I'm sorry to interrupt.
The other thing with the... can't believe we're still talking about the Gillette ad and then watching these and I didn't think about that, like, these people are like, hey, you shouldn't do this, and then the bullying stuff happened, and then watching this all, I was like,
they put down their signs, walked across the street and picked up the other guy's signs.
Yeah, the signs, they went back out of each other.
Exhausting.
And it's, you know, it's I was so glad that, like, because, like, I did take you know, my tech sabbatical, because, like, yeah, the first time I saw photos of it, and then I saw some Patriots and Chiefs meet, I'm like, what the heck happened in D.C., you know? But I was like, you know what? That's all I saw. I'm going back, you know, back to a book. Not, you know, like, yeah. Touching this. I'll touch this on Sunday.
Like, the great Sarah Brady Wagner, one of the Daily hosts, she's not been in the group chat, the Wall Coal Mine, for, like, all weekend. And so I was just like, where's Sarah been? I miss her. She must have gotten smart and deleted her social media all weekend. Because it was exhausting. Like, by the end of Sunday, I was just like, I am exhausted by this. And I shouldn't be. I should take my own advice and walk away.
Yeah. And the people who are thinking about quitting on Facebook, the easiest way to do it, right, is to play the notification game.
Yeah. That's I have notifications off on literally everything.
Well, I'm just saying, like, don't check Facebook till you build up 30 notifications. Mm. Now, for women, that'll be, you know, a little harder because they'll probably have 999, you know, friend requests by lunch.
How many friend requests a day do you get, Hannah?
998. He's being ridiculous.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. You know, and you play, and you just kind of build that up until you get to a higher number. Then you do days, and you do week, and then you do like me. I check it once in a while, or I usually check it when someone tells me to check it.
Yeah.
Usually Spangles, like, check Facebook, or Lacey will tell me to check Facebook. Or I'll get a text from someone, hey, check Facebook.
I have to send memes to my friend Melissa because she doesn't have any social media and she loves memes. So, like, she's like, if there's any dank memes, you need to send them to me.
You should mail them to her.
I should. That's a great idea.
Yes.
Colored ink is just, ink of color is just really expensive.
Yeah. Saturday, I actually typed up Lacey and I took the typewriter. We were typing messages to each other and then sending paper airplanes to each other.
Oh, that's so romantic.
Yeah, low tech, super low tech.
Are you wrapped up? I don't want to move on. I don't want to step on
you. Wow, he's like, try to speed me up.
No. I'm just. I almost. I looked at her and I almost went to her and I was like, maybe Harry's not done. I should check.
Oh, thank you.
I was being thoughtful.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate that the white male
speed it
decided
up. Speed
to,
it up faster.
White male trying to take my time. Yeah, I'm done now.
All right. Hannah, final thoughts.
Okay. Gillette ad. If I'm not offended by toxic feminism, people using that term, don't be offended by toxic masculinity. It's not about you. It's not that big a deal.
You were toxically masculine today.
Nothing
but toxic masculinity all over our Facebook page.
Pretty much. And then, yeah, that brings us full circle back to, you know, my main point is don't trust these hoes. Wait. Like we said, wait. Get the facts. Do your research. Don't trust these hoes.
Don't.
That's pretty much it. And yeah. Go check out that meme. Because it's a good one.
It is.
It's
very
a good one.
I need to make sure Stone puts it on the Instagram.
If my grandma wasn't on my Facebook, I'd have shared it.
Your grandma doesn't know what a hoe is.
Gardening tool.
Yeah.
And if your grandma knows what a hoe is, then she was a hoe, and so she isn't going to be offended. She's going to laugh. Because hoes are fun. That's why they get all the attention. Just share it. You'll be fine.
No. Too wholesome.
It's times like these that you need to stand up for what's right.
I can't do it.
All right.
But don't trust these hoes.
All right. Chris, final thoughts?
My final thoughts are I think we need to, number one, I feel like the whole theme is we need to remember to seek out truth and not always trust our immediate feelings and just react. Try to pause and seek out truth. Another thing that is good to remember is that everyone, including the lying leftist Native American activist, really truly believes in their cause and believes that what they're doing, at least in the long run, is a good thing. And I think we need to, I mean, I really, I'm a real humanist. I really believe we're all humans and we need to act like we're a family, as corny as that sounds. And that we need to figure out why does he feel like he needs to lie about, right, in order to get his point across, because he has some grievances that he, you know,
He wouldn't be as engaged as he is if he didn't care about something.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I feel like it's good to remember that.
Yeah.
And
now he's come on at the end of the show and shamed me on my own show. Yep. You're totally right. You're totally right. It's always a good reminder. It doesn't matter how much strongly you believe in certain things, that you always have to be reminded. Like, this weekend was a good reminder of so many things, mm-hmm. where it's just like you build up, something happens, and then you're like, oh, yeah, I need to reconnect with, like, my beliefs and my principles. And it is, that's a great point where Phillips is doing everything the wrong way, and it's egregious, and it's... He's not considering the effects of how his actions affect those boys, but there is some underlying reason that he is so involved and that he's trying to work towards a certain goal. What is that? You know, I'm sure we'll find out if you watch the conservative press over the next week. We'll learn more about Mr. Phillips. Mm-hmm. Daily Caller right now is digging. But yeah, it's a great point. Any other thoughts?
I highly recommend getting married and creating a family.
Okay.
It's very humbling.
Oh, I thought he was going to say moving out, and I was about to tackle him.
So, very good.
That's it.
That's good.
All right, man. Thanks so much for he specifically came here to America, to We Are Libertarians, flew from Norway. That's not true, but we'll say it is. So thanks. Thank you for the presence. Thank you for coming all the way from Norway.
Welcome.
Thank you for coming all the way from the west side,
mm-hmm.
Hannah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for coming all the way from the east side, Harry.
Lawrence, really.
I knew you'd have a problem. Yeah. I'm trying to be nice. You see, Hannah, in life, there are people who just test you.
I know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yours is Aaron. Mine's Harry. And then Tad tests all of us.
Yes.
All right. Thank you for joining us here on this episode of We Are Libertarians. We love you guys. Be sure to check out the dailies. Please go check out the Alan Frank podcast. If you haven't already subscribed, Alan Frank, Try to Be Serious on any platform you can possibly find. Thank you so much, and we will see you tomorrow.